This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. And in my theater today, we have Tom Andre.
Actually, it looks like I'm in your closet, to be honest with you. I don't know is behind you. It looks a lot like a closet.
It is a closet.
Oh, right then. Okay.
It is a closet. You're sitting in front of your screen, aren't you?
Yeah, I am in my theater. This is my screen right there.
Right.
That's right. And my center channel is directly here, like my chair is almost touching it. I get as close as possible so that I get the white screen behind me.
I'm working on this. This is new to me. I'm trying to get this whole thing. This is where I've been podcasting for a couple years doing my comic book podcast. Ah. So that's why there's all comics around me and stuff. But it is literally a closet. It is
You don't have to convince me of it.
It's a closet downstairs that I took and just built myself into a corner here that I can close the door and separate myself from the rest of the house.
All right then.
So
it's your little man Harry Potter bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's get to some pleasantries here. You can find me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Of course, you can talk to all of us directly at brightsidehometheater.com. And spots underneath all the episodes and all the featured theaters. We have a featured theater tonight, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's Paul's, I think.
Yes, Paul Stewart. Look at you. You've done your research.
Look at me. I remember something that you told me literally seconds ago.
There you go. Yeah. And Tom, where can everybody find you? Because I have you here we're now on YouTube eventually. These clips could be going out on YouTube, but you have a bunch of places, including your new website that you AV Gadgets.
So DJ knows me from AV Rant. It's the AV Rant podcast, a podcast I started many, many, many years ago. I don't remember, 13, 14 years ago now, I think. I think May is the anniversary, so it might be up to 14 years. So the AV Rant podcast, avrant.com, find us there. 700 and I can't remember how many episodes, 770-something, something like that. So there's something. Our podcast basically answers home theater questions and AV questions and basically any questions. If you ask us a question, we'll answer it. I have a co-host, Rob. Rob's the technical genius guy, and I am more color commentary these days. I started off being the technical guy, and then Rob came in, and I was like, you do it. I'm like, you remember all kinds of stuff. I'm old. My brain doesn't work as well as you. He's young and Canadian, so he remembers everything. So Rob's great, and so just send your questions to question@avrant.com, and we'll answer anything. We do everything from how come my whatever it is doesn't work to my dad wants a sound bar, which one do I buy, to here is an empty space in my basement. How should I make this into a home theater? And we'll do everything. Not do it, but you know, we will make recommendations and talk about specifics and everything else. So
we've had come out to your house and help you install it.
Well, that's only for like the patrons, the Patreon guys who really kick it up. There's
if
some
you
people,
get that infinity amount that you've been talking about.
I've been talking about it. So one of these days, somebody's going to put down infinity. Bill Gates is going to be like, drop a million on us, and I'll be like, come to your house, Bill.
Yep.
The first thing I'm doing is I'm adjusting the picture settings on your TV because I know they're wrong. So that's it. I also can be found at avgadgets.com. I'm the editor-in-chief and primary writer over there at this moment. It's a brand new AV site where we kind of tackle – it's called AV Gadgets because that's what it's called. But since they hired me and hire is – very in quotes, to run the thing, I am really focusing a lot on home theater and speakers and kind of a lot more about almost the theory and how home theater works and why you should do things a certain way. So I've been writing a lot of articles that are about, you know, not just, you know, which Atmos speakers should you buy, but why should your Atmos speakers be facing a certain way? Why are certain types the way that they are, and why did the way that Dolby invent this dictate to you how you should be placing your speakers? So a lot of kind of theory sort of stuff. And then I've been hesitant to put these out because they're inflammatory, and that's why I wrote them. But I have written a number of articles about audiophiles and how they suck. So we will be sending those on the website soon enough. So avgadgets.com. You can reach me at tom@avrant.com is the easiest way to get a call. I think I'm tom@avgadgets.com as well. I think I'm pretty sure that works. And I'm Twitter @avrant_tom. You can reach me there. So,
and I'll have all that in the show notes on the webpage and everything, all that.
All those things. That's right. Don't worry. All your listeners are my listeners anyways. They all know how to contact.
Pretty much. Although I do know I've gotten you a few.
I'm sure it's gone both ways. I'm sure it has.
Not nearly as much.
That's okay. I've been doing a lot longer than you have. I would expect that.
Yes, exactly.
So not a big deal. We're all friends here.
Yes, we are. And now, my second week in a row, I am now on Patreon as well, along with you guys. I figured if you guys can do it, I can give it a shot. What do I got to lose, right?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, except for
friends. That's not true. That's not true, because I got my first supporter. I ran upstairs and I told my wife, and I was like, and I hadn't even announced it yet. I just put the link on the webpage and somebody clicked on it, and I was like, I went out of my mind. But anyways, before that happened, I go, hey, what's the worst? I'm at nothing now. And my son goes, you could come back to nothing. I'm like, you're right. And I'm like, that's worse. Like,
how old is your son?
23.
Oh, well, okay. Did you say get out of my house? And
no. No, but you know what I mean? Like, when you go backwards, you're like, what did I do wrong? I know you don't get that feeling, Tom.
Oh, I've been doing my podcast and doing AV for the love of it for a long, long time. The podcast in particular has been a labor of love and doesn't really make money per se. I mean, it makes it some, but the amount of money I've put into it does not equal the amount of money I've gotten out of it. So, but it has other benefits in that I like doing it. It's fun, and it helps me keep in contact not only with my core audience, but at the same time, you know, it informs a lot, especially on AV gadgets. You know, people, when I hear the same question over and over again, I'm like, I should write an article about this, because people clearly are curious. And especially that's why you find on AV gadgets a lot of articles about subwoofers, because it's by far the most popular questions we get is about how to play subwoofers, which subwoofers to buy, why subwoofers work the way they do, how come, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it informs me and keeps me on my toes. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And in particular about subwoofers, I think having been doing this in home theater since the 80s, I came to you guys, I learned a whole new world of subwoofers when I started listening to you guys, because everything's changed.
Yeah.
Literally since 10 years ago, never mind 20, 30 years ago, right?
Right. 20, 30 years ago, they really didn't have too many subs other than the movie theaters. There wasn't a whole lot of home subwoofers, and they were like, you know, big black boxes and a lot of
crazy money.
They were either built in somebody's garage, or they were crazy money, or they came from the speaker manufacturers, and they were an afterthought for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the Velodyne, and I couldn't afford that. And that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And you just were like, okay, well, maybe someday. And then I eventually ended up with an NHT. And I was happy with that, but none of that approaches what we have today, and especially with SVS, and talking to Rob today about I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, you can't spoil it because we haven't done it yet. So
I know.
We try not to talk about it before it happens, because we've gotten burned too many times, and not on purpose. It's just people's schedule's strange. But
it's
not too hard to figure out what we're talking about if you have been paying attention to anything. But
Okay. So on Patreon, for as little as $1 a month, all the way up to what?
Infinity.
There we go.
In theory. You could put Infinity there. Yep. I don't know how they take it from your account, but they could try.
Yep. Hey, I'd like to see somebody try. Any amount greatly appreciated, but not needed. We all understand. And I'm honored for what I've gotten so far. I'm up to 7. And this week I have 4 new patrons. We have Elango Theramorthy. Anthony Rodriguez? What's that?
So good luck with the names. You're feeling my pain, dude. I can't. Oh, I struggle with the names.
I know. And you make me feel so much better, especially when I see an Ilongo Theramur. I had to Google it and I still can't remember it.
No,
right.
You can't do it. You
Theramorphy.
I have something in my water. This is driving me nuts. Can I get it? Can I get it?
Anthony Rodriguez, Brad Horton, and Paul Stewart. And Brad sent a message through Patreon. I said, I sent him a thank you. And he said, absolutely. In a way, you support me too. When I'm at work and I need someone to help me stay awake, you help with that. It's cheaper than Audible books and I pay for that. I want to do my part to support the podcast. You found the niche that was missing in this hobby. Everyone loves to talk all about the gear. That's fun, but you talk about the end game, the enjoyment. You found a way in a format that works, at least in my opinion. I listened to your Fifth Element podcast a week ago, listened to it this weekend through my new Denon receiver. I then had to listen to the podcast again while it was fresh. That was really cool. Thank you for what you do. Make sure and update us on how many cents per hour you are up to. Because I've been
cents
telling...
per hour. Oh, my God.
Well, I think I've just went over the dollar an hour.
For podcast, per podcast hour?
Per month. Per month. I just went over a dollar an hour, but I'm not going to factor in all the work I did to try and figure out this whole video thing. Because that was hours and dollars, to be honest. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. And this one here, Tom, I had to save this email especially for you. This is from Ilongo. Mm. He emailed, he said, hi, DJ. I heard about you a few months back on AV Rant. Tom was giving you a hard time about something.
Oh, slander. I would never do that. That's slander. Don't listen to this man. He is a liar, DJ. I have said nothing but positive things about you constantly on my podcast. Anybody who says differently is leading you astray. Down the primrose path. Listen not to those fork-tongued devils.
You say that like I don't listen to your podcast. I listen to yours. You don't listen to mine.
I don't listen to mine. I don't listen to any podcast.
I know that.
That's not true. I do listen to Radio Lab Kids with my son as we drive around. That's it. That's it.
Are you rubbing it in?
No. Okay.
I don't listen to yours, but I listen to this.
I don't listen to my own either. So there you go. That's fine.
So he says, in that way that he shows his affection. And he said, so I decided to check out your podcast. Great show. Enjoy the format, your unique and personal approach. And then he goes on and he actually goes on to tell me all about his, he said, you know, I do like hearing from people and how they got into podcasting, into home theater and stuff. And he's actually 10 years younger than me. And going through his entire history, it mirrors mine. But he was like, I was married and buying my first Laserdisc player, and he was in high school, and he got his learner's permit, and him and his dad drove down to get him his first Laserdisc player.
You should have been getting gas in that car is what you should have been doing.
Yeah, well.
As a father, let me tell you.
He was working. He outlined everything. And it's really funny because it's all, like, everything is exactly the same, and he's exactly 10 years younger than me.
Isn't he, like, in Denmark or something like that, too? I thought. I can't remember. I feel
I'm
like
not
he was.
Sure.
Anyways, not important.
Not off the top. Don't,
I could look it up,
quiz
but
me.
I'm not going to. It's fine.
Anyways,
man,
thank you to my
seven. Is there a point to this thing or what's going on?
To what thing?
I don't know.
I'm on Patreon here. So thank you to my seven patrons. That's what I'm trying to say, Tom.
All right.
All right.
You all got like 2 minutes apiece.
Exactly. New Twitter followers this week. We have BJ Horton, 2005, Garrett Sorge, and TLDR. My buddies over there at TLDR Comic Book Podcast, they decided to follow me. Pretty cool.
Nice.
All right. Twitter and email comments. Tweet from BJ Horton, 2005, at Brightside HT. You do an amazing job. I work nights as a truck driver and can't spend as much time watching movies as I would like. I'm also redoing my home theater currently. Thanks to you, I already have a watch list for when I complete my build. And then Carl email. Did you see the 50 most beautiful cinemas in the world? Sent those to both of us.
No.
Okay. Pretty cool. That link will be in the show notes.
I rarely agree with such listicles, though, when it comes to the most beautiful. I'm like,
too gaudy.
Did you guys notice that none of those amps, that are those monoblock amps that are next to those tower speakers, actually have any wires coming out of any of them? They're just all sitting next to each other as if they somehow were wireless. Yeah, no, that's, yeah, I rarely agree with such things. Or the ones that are themed or whatever. And themes are fine, yeah. And I got no problems with that. But when it's clear that somebody said, recreate the bridge of the Enterprise on, you know, in this room, and we'll make it into a theater, I'm like, you're gonna, how you, why? Why?
How about the article on the foldable 165-inch micro LED?
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast today as well. Yeah, that's crazy. Did you? Crazy.
That's in yours this week? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's beautiful.
It is something that will very likely never come out of the ground more than a handful of times. Somebody's going to pay $400,000 to put that into their house. It's going to fold into the ground, and then they're going to unfold it two or three times a year, and then they're going to sell the house to some, you know, pro ball player who's not going to even know it's there. It's just going to be dumb.
He'll be in the house for like 2 years, and he'll hit a button and be like, "Oh my god, that's been."
He goes, "What's happening underneath the couch? The couch is going to tip over."
Yeah, exactly. He's had a couch. No,
I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's cool, but I'm spending $400,000 on a micro LED display. If first of all, if you look at the picture of this thing that they show you, it's the room it's in. You could take like at least 3/4 of my house and just dump it in that, just in the filmed space, not in whatever was missing from the picture, just in the what they were showing. You could take 3/4 of my house and just dump it in this big empty space in there. Yeah, so clearly it's a product for the masses. But when I'm spending $400,000 on a foldable, on a display, what I wanted to do is have a hinge someplace so that it folds up. And then I wanted to go on the ground so that my children can ride skateboards across the top of it, because that's what I want. I'm like, I'd put like caution tape up around it.
Wouldn't you want one
steps here.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want something foldable to come down from something where you can't spill things into it?
Oh my God, dude. The Roomba comes along. You left it up for the night, and the Roomba just falls into the hole, and it's down there. You know, it's like 911 calling. Oh yeah, the dog goes down there and falls asleep, and then you fold it down. Now you got dog bits all over your $400,000 display. That's real practical. It's great. This to me is like when Kef released the Blade and the Muon speaker.
I don't remember that.
Those are their... It was years ago. I think it was Muon was the first one, Muon. And it was just this prototype, you know, like $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 speaker pair that just had... They just told their engineers, go crazy. Just do everything, you know, whatever you want. Well, the tweeters that they use now were first developed for that, you know, crazy expensive pair of speakers, because you know, as they developed that, then they learned how to make it cheaper and make it you know, mass produce them, and now that's why Kef sounds as good as it does today. So is it important that there's $400,000 foldable micro LED displays that I could maybe purchase if I didn't have a family, friends, or a life? Well, no, but it is important that somebody made that so that somebody else can look at it and say, how do we make this affordable? And that's what's good about it.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea that they're just developing new technology that we'll find in other things someday. Hmm. I mean, not necessarily that. So. Yeah. Martin Anderson on Twitter, BrightsideHT. I was wondering what that can opening at the 1017 meant. Thanks for clearing that up. It is awesome that your wife is a rock star. So last week I told everybody that at the 1017 mark of my podcast, I open a can of Rockstar, and my wife's birthday is on 1017. So that's why I put a sounder in. So to mark that. Albert email. Hi, DJ. Yep. I'm still listening. Even started listening to your comic book podcast as well. Snapped a few more pics of the room now that I've added a few movie trinkets to the area. Also, pics to show what kind of room I'm working with. I still don't have the SVS subs, but I did add a bass shaker to hold me over. Keep up the good work. And I added those pictures to his home theater, featured theater, Captain Patch. And that's on the website as well. WV Brew email. My wife My view of my home theater has changed. Adding first-run content from Warner has made me change my excitement a bit in watching catalog titles. It's almost as if it's almost becoming like the mindset of getting excited for a big theatrical release. It now seems first run, not home run. And I cleared that up. What he's meaning by that is, like, he's more excited for the stuff coming to the house now than he is. It's like his home theater, he's considering it like it's not a home theater anymore. That is just the theater instead of going to the theaters. Pretty cool. I've always thought of my home, like, I've always been excited, more excited for the stuff to come to my home theater than at the actual theater. Like, I go to the theater to take in the movie so I don't get spoiled. I know you like to wait. Like, you waited for Endgame, didn't you?
Yeah.
Till it came home.
Yeah.
I remember listening to you and Rob talk, and you're like, I'm
really good at not spoiling myself. Like, I don't even, like, if I start to read one of the headlines, I can tell there's going to be a spoiler in it. I stop reading and scroll. Yeah. So I'm really good about not spoiling myself. Though, they are getting just worse and worse about spoilers. Like, the spoilers are in the pictures. The spoilers are in the first couple of words. And yeah, they're terrible about spoiling things. So my natural reaction would be to wait for WandaVision to get completed and then watch the whole thing binge. But luckily my wife is into it and the family's into it. So we're watching it all as it comes out. But I would have been spoiled half a dozen times already in this stupid thing because people are just not even bothering.
Right.
to try to hide anything anymore, which irritates me. But go on.
Alrighty. Lieutenant Sulu, my buddy Dale, he used to live out here. Used to live in Quincy. He's now in California. He emailed me about a recommendation for a remote. And I was saying the Harmony, I know they're hard to come by, but after listening to you guys, I told him, I hear they're coming back.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
April, which is, that's good news. But that's the best advice I can give.
That's the best one that's out there. There's really no other option. There are options if you buy a third-party hub. And I'll have to look it up. Hold on a second. But there is some options out there for, like, but you'll have to use your phone to control it. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not what I want. You know, what I want is a remote that allows me to do all this stuff. And I don't want to have my phone in here. More importantly, I don't want my kids to have their phones in here. Because it just becomes sort of a deal. So, yeah. I would rather have an actual remote.
Yeah. I hope, you know, Harmony doesn't go away. Or if they do, we get a suitable replacement or something close to it. Graham Cole, it could be interesting. We're talking about District 9 getting its sequel, District 7. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not. Oh. But I do like District 9.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I did that podcast a few weeks ago. I love that. That movie's great. It's great sound in that movie, too. Reginald email about new headphones. He sent me pictures of these Grotto Labs GS3000Es. Have you seen these things?
Say it again. What?
Grotto Labs GS3000Es.
It's a speaker, I'm guessing?
It's a headphone.
Oh, a Grotto. Okay.
They're gorgeous.
You're not showing me a picture, are you?
No, I am not. Grotto. I am not.
Labs.
GS3000E.
GS. There it is.
They're wood.
Yeah, I love it when people make things out of wood because they say it sounds better. Oh, look, it's wood. It must be good. Images, please.
They're beautiful, though.
I love me some headphones. I'll be honest with you. I could.
These things are
crazy.
I could
review nothing about headphones, and that would be fine.
Reginald's theater. He was my first Patreon supporter, by the way. Yeah. But his theater is one of my featured theaters, and he's really into the music. He has a lot of CDs. He has bunches of headphones, I guess, because he has little headphone stands in his theater and stuff. But really, really nice stuff. And he sent me this one. I think it was today or yesterday. And I saw the picture of these things. I was like, nah, I can't afford that.
Look a little bit like donuts, though. I mean, just a little bit.
Oh,
like
yeah, headphones.
I mean, but there's wood around the outside and then the black center, which I guess is it open back? It must be open back, huh?
Not sure.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it's open back.
Maybe.
So it's a good looking headphone. I mean, Grottos are generally good sounding too from my experience, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So, but for $700, they better be.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That brings us to this week's featured theater. So you can stop pulling that up. I'll read the email. Featured theater brought to you this week by Paul Stewart. If you'd like to have your theater featured, you can email me pictures, a description, and I will feature your theater or put it on the website and talk about it in the podcast. So Paul says, hey, DJ, hope that you are well. Unlike yourself, I am not the most accomplished at DIY. So try not to lose your mind at the uneven lines and spacings. Tom and Rob probably won't approve of the acoustic foam either, but needs must. I didn't go for an OLED as I work away from home a lot, and it would break my heart if I came home to a burnt-in screen. Mm-hmm. I couldn't face blooming from a FALD set, full array local dimming, either, and really wanted Dolby Vision, which excluded Samsung. The detail and colors on this TV are beautiful, so I don't feel too short-changed. It's only when I can't do deep blacks that you realize it's not an OLED. My system is in a small sitting room, probably no bigger than 15 feet by 12 feet, but it makes me happy, and I think it sounds amazing. The system consists of a Panasonic TX58HX800 TV, Panasonic DB UB820 Blu-ray player, Apple TV 4K, Xbox One X, TAC TN300 record player, Cambridge Audio Solo Phono amp, Denon AVR X4500 amp, Q Acoustics Concepts front, left, and right, Q Acoustics Concept center, Q Acoustics 3010 surround, left, and right, Fine Audio F310 subwoofer, a Wharfdale D300 front heights, Monster Audio Radius 90 rear heights. Monitor Audio Radius. And ultimately, he wants an SVS SB1000 just to complete everything, but I love the performance so far. Thanks again for the podcast. Regards, Paul. And now we can go through the pictures.
We're not going to go through them one by one, right? We're just going to like scroll. Are you going through them one scroll, by one?
We'll scroll through.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I don't care. I can't see what you're scrolling though, so I don't know what you're going to be talking
about.
Well,
we'll look at the first picture. We're looking at the first picture with the mat.
Yeah.
So he's a Vikings fan.
He's got a subwoofer on the isolation pad, so that's good.
Yep, and you can see his. It looks like he has a Harmony remote there too.
Yeah.
Next picture. Is above the door frame, and that's you've got your pictures up there of Terminator, your Matrix.
There's got to be a lot of Terminator pictures in this Terminator mirror.
Yeah, I think. Well, we see that picture again in a minute, and we go to the next frame. You liked this one. You talked about this earlier. The dark set, the light switch.
It's a light switch. Like it looks like it's magnetic or something. It's kind of cool.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's what it looks like. It looks like it's magnetic. Yeah, I like that.
He labeled it as a light switch, but it looks like you turn it, maybe push it. I don't know.
I don't know. Either way, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. It's really cool. Let's see the next picture. I like this. This is pretty cool. Reminded me of Tom and Jerry, which just came out.
So he's not in the U.S. This is the U.K. or Aussie, one or the other, because those power cords are very similar to what – I mean, I can't tell what kind they are, but it looks like U.K.,
yeah, yeah. He's a Patreon supporter as well, and his money came in pounds.
There you go.
UK. But that was a pretty cool little sticker on the baseboard there. Next picture, all his catalogs and Jameson. He's got everything going on here. Let's get the next picture. We have more stuff on the wall. I like when people decorate their rooms like crazy like this. And then
it's not really for me, but I do know why people do it, and I appreciate it. It's to me, it's very similar to going to like a sports bar, but for somebody decorating things I care about and not things I don't. Like I look around this room, I'll find things I want to look at. I want to look at the professional picture in this one. I want to look at the Fifth Element one, which is also very good. In here,
yes.
And of course, Spirited
in that
Away
back one,
and all
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's written. And that's the thing. He has so many cool things in this room. There's like something for everybody.
Yeah.
You go to the next picture and you have more of the you know, you what's that, a Tyrannosaurus Rex up on the top there, and you've got all your Star Wars figurines going.
Empty bottles of Jack on one of these. I can't remember which one. It was up a couple. There's a little, couple of little empty bottles of Jack up there on one of those.
Yep. But the other thing that's cool is, like, I did a theater like a month or so ago. I can't remember whose it was, but it had, like, it was totally clean. There was nothing in the room. It was a gorgeous room, but then he had stuff on the outside of the room. Mm. And it's funny because you see that stuff, and it's fun to, that's one of the fun things about having, like, featuring all these theaters is you get to see all the different ways and different ideas that people come up with. And, like, not everything is for everybody, but this room has something for everybody practically.
Yeah. So the advantage, at least, so most of my movies and stuff are not in the room. And one of the advantages is I can send somebody out to go look for a movie and I don't have to turn on all the lights on in here and stuff like that. So it becomes a lot more convenient if you're trying to switch movies in the midst of what you're watching, or, you know, when you're finishing one up and somebody's going to go try to find another one. It's nice to be able to just leave the room and go find what you want without having to adjust the lighting in the room itself, which is a benefit. He has blackout curtains too, so that's good.
Yeah. The next picture I'm looking at is the back corner, I believe it's called. It's labeled top left rear. So he's got a nice football up on the top there with the NFL, all the NFL teams on it. And his speaker down in the, it looks like his rear channel speaker's tucked away in the cubby there. Pretty cool.
Yeah, rear or side surrounds, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's got side surrounds.
And the next picture we're looking at, now we're looking at the right and the rear, so a little further back, so you're getting to see the almost the full room, and now you get to see that the sound absorption on the wall that you're a big fan of.
Well, I mean, I got, well, like I said before the podcast, acoustic foam has got a place in the zeitgeist because it's always used in movies, or you see a lot in sound studios and stuff like that. But for a home theater, especially when your room in a room as small as this, it sort of makes sense to want to use something really thin, and acoustic foam is very thin. It's also very easy to place. Plus, it comes in all these designs like you're seeing here where you can do a checkerboard pattern. You can buy multiple colors and do sort of a wave design or something along those lines, which is nice. As far as effectiveness goes, it really only helps tame the very, very highs. That's all it really does. It doesn't do almost anything into the bass. A 2-inch acoustic foam panel, and I'm going to forget the exact number, but I did write an article about it. Let me look it up real quick. But that's basically, it drops off in the bass very, very quickly, and you get a lot more performance out of the same amount of material in a panel. Foam is cheap, generally speaking, or less expensive. And it's easier to place, and it's, you know, it's easier to, and I don't really think it's that much easier, but it seems easier to place because you can mostly tape it to the wall.
Right.
But it's better than not having anything up there. So, I mean, and the way he's done it is pretty good. It's pretty nice. I like it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because my first question was going to be, because I've heard you guys say that a lot, and I have a bunch of this on my front wall behind the cloth that I have up there. When I ran out of the thicker stuff that I had, I just put this stuff up. My first question was going to be, it's not detrimental, so no. You answered that. No. But look at all the pillows he has. Mm-hmm. How much does that play in? Like, say he buried himself in those things to watch a movie. Does that absorb a lot? Is that a stupid question? But
it's,
you know,
not
what
a
I mean?
Stupid. No, it's not a stupid question. So as far as bass is concerned, the tie end is concerned, it's more about what the fabric is like.
Mm-hmm.
So if the fabric is fairly thick, why can I not find this article? If the fabric is fairly thick, then it will reflect the high end. So it basically acts like a rounded or, you know, not flat surface. It acts like a wall. The lower you go down the frequency, the more likely it is to penetrate. And then, so the way that sound absorbers, if it's no matter how it works, foam or insulation, the way it works is that as the sound goes through it, it vibrates those fibers, you know, the foam fibers or the insulation fibers. And that gets, that vibration gets translated to heat. That takes some of the energy away. So the better it is at it's capturing that sound wave and turning it into heat. And we're not talking like it's not going to get hot to the touch or anything, but the more that turns it into a physical vibration rather than air moving, the less sound comes back out of it as it passes through, because it's going to pass through, hit the wall, and then come back through again. So it actually passes through twice, which is why we say an air gap is a good thing. I can't find this article, so I'm going to give up. It's just distracting me. So how much does your sofa and all that make a difference? Well, you know, if it's leather, you know, it really doesn't allow sound to pass through almost right. at all. So it's not going to do a whole lot. If it's fabric, it depends on the fabric. But, you know, the fibers that are inside there are not really, you know, they're built for comfort, which means there's a lot of air between them. And it doesn't have quite that pattern, the fiberness that you need in insulation, which is why we don't have the same material that's inside your pillows or inside your couch in your attic. It's not just, you know, it's not just because it would, you know, go up in flames, but also because it is not good for for insulation. So, and that's the same thing. You know, it's just keeping things from passing through. So how much does it help? Well, it doesn't hurt. Anything like this in here would be fine. What we're really trying to do with sound absorption is we really want to try to get as far down into the bass as we can. The more bass we can absorb, the better. And the reason is, and we talked about this 1,000 times on the AV Rant podcast, and I won't beleaguer it here, but what the bass waves are so long, especially in a room this size,
right.
Like a 20 hertz bass wave to make one full cycle, trough to trough or peak to peak or whatever, so that it goes all the way up and down like a sine wave, it's about 55 feet long. So there is no hearing that or hearing that bass wave before it reflects off a surface in your room. So in the case of a room like this, it's reflecting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times as it's bouncing off of different surfaces. So any time that you can reduce the amount of energy that's coming from those reflections, the more even your bass is going to be. The less ringing you're going to get, the less, and if you think about dropping two pebbles in water and having the waves coalesce, you know, cross each other.
Right.
You know, as they cross each other, in some places they'll get, the waves will get higher, when in some places the waves will get lower, or in some places the waves will just pass through pretty much unmolested. If you can reduce the amount of waves that are coming back into the room from the walls, then you reduce those effects of the waves interacting with each other. And that's what we're trying to do. So what this is doing in his room is taming the high frequencies quite a bit, which the pillows and other things were doing. I still think they're doing something really good behind his head right there, because it's against the wall. Right. It's not hurting anything, certainly. It isn't doing a whole lot for the bass. The second subwoofer that he's planning on getting will help with more even response across the seats, but actual absorption, absorptive panels, especially if you can find a way to put one in the corner, which I don't see a corner that's free in this place, so it might be on the ceiling, question mark? So,
right. Crown molding.
He's got a lot of stuff going on in this room, so, but,
yeah.
I might go into this room, or Rob might go into this room, or you might go into this room and say, oh, well, I can hear this, this, and this. And he's like, that sounds great to me. Well, right. In the end, who cares if it sounds great to you? That's all that really matters. It sounds great to you. Can it sound better? That literally is true of every home theater that
everybody.
Yeah. So, and that includes my own. I got no problem saying that. So, yes, it can sound better, but as long as it sounds good to you, then more power to you.
That's it's all relative. Hmm. You know, a lot of people, they live off of just streaming, and that's all they can have, and they're happy with it, and that's great. And I mean, we came up with it, and at every tier you thought that was great.
Yeah.
And just like whatever we have for equipment, there's always a way to improve it. And if you're happy with it, like he says he's very happy with it, I mean, this is awesome. Yep. That's what you want. And you're clearly, and that's what, like, in this podcast, we're talking about the environment, and he has a hell of an environment going here.
Right. You know, and that's at least part of it. I've been in many homes that have, like, like collections of things. And to be able to integrate a collection into a hobby that you really like, I just think that's good. You know, yeah, that's fun.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So the next picture I'm looking at right now is the one with the, you could see the mat at the bottom. I scrolled through a bit.
I scrolled through a whole bunch.
So left wall curtain open, and then the next picture after that, we're looking at, let's see, what's that one called? That one is the right and front covers on, more of the side view. You have the big poster of Blade on the wall, more of the
sound absorption. Oh, I found you. I somehow got to the bottom and back up again.
Yep. Yes. And then what? We're working our way towards the front of the room here, but you can see his door. He has nice Pulp Fiction. That's actually a pretty cool one. It looks like it's a canvas.
Yeah,
the Pulp Fiction poster. Yeah. That's pretty nice. Let's see. Next picture here. Now we get into the, like you said, earlier, you notice the speakers are upside down with the tweeter at the bottom, but they are up pretty high.
I think those are the front height speakers. And that's,
yes, you're right.
I don't think that having the tweeter up on the bottom in any way makes a sonic difference from what you're experiencing, but it does make it, it does look like it's easier to maybe hide the wire, I think is maybe what he was going for. So
that could be it too. Yeah.
So I think as far as sonically, if you turn the speaker literally any direction, I don't think you would be able to tell the difference between the orientation it's in now. So if this orientation is easier for you, or the wiring reason made it easier, this is the way to go. Sonically, though, it's going to be identical to almost anything else.
Yeah. And then the next picture has the same speaker on the other side. He's got the wire tucked nicely behind the Millennium Falcon.
Right. Yeah.
Now we get to his gear at the front of the room, full rack there of everything sitting there. Looks very nice. I actually look at the way that the foam is behind the TV there. It looks kind of cool. That gray with the light.
It's hard to tell. It looks like he might have some bias lighting going on there. Or there might be a window behind there, question mark. But it looks like it might be bias lighting.
I don't know. Let's see if we can step back and see if there's a picture. Now, when next picture is closer, a close-up of his turntable.
So one thing I noticed is that his center channel is not proud of the edge of the front of the speaker is not proud of the cabinet it's sitting on.
Yes.
Of the center channel. So that's the one thing I would do in here. I don't know that sonically you're going to be able to tell a difference, but you might. And the reason is because the tweeter, which is, it looks like it's at the top end of that speaker, so it probably isn't bouncing off the bottom, but any reflection that you're getting off of the top of that cabinet could be reflecting up to your ceiling and then back down again to you and kind of mess things up a little bit. Maybe it's not, but generally speaking, the advice would be to pull that center channel forward so that not the grill, but the front of the speaker is at least in line with the very front of your cabinet.
Right.
And the grill would be in front of that. So that would be the one thing I would recommend.
Did you guys just go over that like a week or so ago?
Dude,
I thought I remember hearing you say that.
I say that a lot. Yes, often. He does have bias lighting. You can kind of see it going down the left
does.
There.
Yeah. 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 Well, we're going to say, now that I remember, wait till we get to the next picture.
Yeah.
The next picture here with the, what's that, alligator, crocodile? I don't know, with a butterfly on his head. You can see the bias lighting there.
Yeah.
And the tweeter is, now in this picture here, you can see the tweeter is at the top of that center channel.
Yeah. I would still pull it forward. It's literally like, it looks like it's an inch. I mean, it shouldn't make that much of a difference, but
nope,
might. But yes, definitely bias lighting there, which is cool. Like I said, I bought some bias lighting. I still haven't installed it. I'm mad at myself over it. So there we go.
See, I don't mind bias lighting for the look. I don't like it when I'm watching a movie.
I got one on a dimmer, so I can. I'm just going to control it via dimmer, and that'll be it. Yeah, I won't ever. Either I'll love it or I'll hate it. Either way, I'm going to be done with
it
very, very quickly. All right, I'm closing this.
Boop. Okay, yeah, last picture we had Gandalf, so that was that. All right, so that brings us to you and I just chatting.
All right.
Kind of like what we've been doing. So we talked about this a while ago. I had done my 300 episode. Not my 300th, but I reviewed 300, the Zack Snyder movie.
Right. and one of my favorite movies, by the way. I love that movie. I've watched it many, many times. I went on a mandate to see that movie. One of my best friends, my wife's best friend's husband called me and said, do you want to go see 300 with me? I'm like, is this the mandate? He goes, you damn right it is. I'm like, well, let's go. We went and saw it on IMAX. It was like the latest show they had. We were exhausted by the end, but it was good. It was good.
And yeah. Oh, I love the movie. I hadn't seen it in a long time. And when I reviewed the 4K, it is with the HDR and the way Snyder, the way he manipulates color. Yeah. And all of his scenes are so color dependent, right? So I'm reviewing this movie, blown away by the movie, and all I kept thinking the entire time, I was thinking of you, and that you had said...
That just sounds wrong.
Yeah, I know, huh?
You see a bunch of guys shirtless Spartans up there. He's like, you know what I'm thinking of?
Tom. Tom in spandex.
Tom's been cycling. I'm going to get him one of these little toga things and see how that works out.
Get him
out
a
for
red
him.
Cape. So what I was thinking of, though, is you had said a while ago, a couple of years ago at least, talking about the Snyder Cut, not the Snyder Cut, talking about Justice League.
Yes.
And how bad it was. And you made a point that has stuck with me ever since then, that because Snyder was so dependent on colors, and then you take that, and it's like, if your background's supposed to be a certain color, you design your costumes in a certain way. They're all designed to match those colors. So then Joss Whedon comes in, changes everything except the costumes, and you're pointing this out, and you're like, all of this is wrong, and this is what makes it look so awful, and this and that. And I'm sitting here going, this is stuff I never would have thought of. Well, and I texted you and I was like, we have to do a podcast in March.
Yeah. It's not actually what he said. I think he said January, but then
he pushed me.
I got
kept pushing it.
That's right. I think he might have been upset about something. I don't know what.
No, I wasn't.
So some of that came from me, and some of this came from another review that I had seen afterwards. So I watched the movie and I was like, man, this thing is, something's wrong with this thing. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then I watched a review from a YouTuber named Movie Bob, and he started talking about how obvious it was to him that in the editing room, they had not, that the costuming and the lighting, because like the costumes, the lights, and the coloring and everything else, it's all designed to work together, right? So you got Zack Snyder, who has an idea of how this is all going to work. But we all knew this, right? We all knew this because we saw the previews, the trailer. There was the trailer, which was like brown, like as Zack Snyder likes to do, brown and yellow. And then we saw the Joss Whedon version, and it was red and white, basically. So, I went back and in preparation for this, I watched that movie again last night. I thought I had the extended director's 3-hour.
The ultimate edition or whatever they call it.
I thought I had that, but I do not have that. I had just the regular theatrical release, which is fine. I watched that again. And I'll be honest with you, I think it was the first time I made it through the entire movie not drunk by the end of it, because I usually watch that movie. I'm like, about halfway through, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to need a drink to get through the end of this thing. So I watched the whole thing straight, and then I watched Suicide Squad afterwards just to like have a little bit of a comparison.
Really?
I wasn't going to watch Batman v Superman, which I also have, and I do have the extended cut of that one, because I cannot watch that movie.
You don't like Batman v Superman, huh?
Oh my God, I cannot watch that movie. It's just so, so incredibly terrible. So there's a lot of things to talk about Justice League. There's a lot of things to talk about. Of course, we've got the whole Joss Whedon thing. We've got Zack Snyder. We've got all the controversies that are going on. We got the Snyder Cut coming and all of that. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about. I got a lot of things to say, but I'm going to let you direct this conversation. Are you going to point me like a gun?
Well, that's what I want to know. Like, what is, because you're pointing out things that I wouldn't even think of, because my podcast is about the environment. I like to sit there and let it wash over me. And then I hear stuff like this and I'm like, I didn't even think, I just got to see people things go boom and guys fly in the air and fights, and I'm having fun with it.
Right.
And but there is an artistic side of me that loves to learn this stuff. And especially when I heard you say that, it doesn't take anything away from the movie for me, but I do recognize that.
Right.
And I understand that. And when we see stuff like 300 or Watchmen, and you watch, like, you see a Snyder movie.
I think Sucker Punch is probably his.
Yep.
His, to me, going back and watching all, like, I love 300. I like Watchmen, but Sucker Punch to me had sort, it is like Zack Snyder at Zack Snyder's best to me. And I don't know if that, if it, and I don't necessarily think it's a great movie, but it's good enough for me to have watched twice, and I will probably watch it again. A number of times, and once it goes off of Netflix or wherever it is, I'm probably gonna buy it. So that's
wait till then.
That's kind of how that's gonna go.
Right. So with Justice League, though, what do you expect out of the Snyder Cut? Let's jump off right there. Like, how do you expect that? One, do you think you're gonna see an improvement and enjoy the movie?
I am unlikely to see the movie since it's going to be on the, whatever,
HBO,
the Max,
Max.
HBO Max. I am unlikely to see the movie. But I have no problems. Like, if the movie was available to me, would I watch it? I would probably watch it the first chance I got, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So what do I expect? Well, I expect there's going to be a lot of that Monday morning quarterbacking going on in this movie. Everybody is so excited that they revamped what's his name? The bad guy who's so forgettable. I keep forgetting his name. And that, you know, and everybody's so excited that I'm like, of course everybody hated him so much. I mean, but the problem with him. Okay. So I'm going to get way off track here. So I'm expecting a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking to go on. There's going to be a lot of changes to this movie based on fan feedback. First of all, I think that's a terrible idea. I think that you should not kowtow to fans, because fans 100% do not know what they want. If you don't believe me, then live through walking out of a first screening of Empire Strikes Back and tell me that those people who walked out of that movie are the same people who are right now telling you it's the best Star Wars movies that ever. Because those people were not saying that when they walked out. They were not.
And I know I wasn't. I didn't like it. I was a little kid, and I was scared.
Everybody,
I didn't like Vader.
Everybody was like, "What the hell just happened? We got to the end of this movie. There's no end. It didn't end. They just flew off, and he doesn't have a hand. And Darth Vader's what? Everybody's arguing. No, he's not. He was lying. He's evil. He lies. I mean, it was a big deal. And if George Lucas had kowtowed to the fans and redone it, and don't get me started on The Last Jedi, because this will be a deal. I could. Talk about Rian? I don't know how to say his name. Johnson?
Rian Johnson?
Yeah. If they had stuck with him, or her, I don't even actually know. I thought that movie was brilliant. But I'm not gonna go there. But fans don't know what they want. Fans just like to rail. It's like they have the biggest get off my lawn type mentality ever. They don't want anything to change. They want everything to stay the same, and they don't like to be challenged. So if your idea of art is Kraft macaroni and cheese, then kowtow to the fans, because the fans absolutely need to be challenged. They don't know what they want, and you cannot just keep giving them the same thing over and over again, or you'll turn into Linkin Park and all these other bands that people now hate because they literally just keep doing the same thing over and over again and making tons and tons of money from all the people who just want to hear the same thing over and over again. And I like those bands fine, and I listen to them just, that's fine, but I'm not challenged by them. And I don't say to them that they're fantastic artists. I think they're great performers and they do a good job at what they do. But is that what we're looking for out of a Justice League movie? Are we looking for Zack Snyder to go back through? And I don't actually think he's going to 100% do this, but there's going to be a lot of it in there. There's going to be a lot of it in there. And the problem with who's the bad guy? What's his name? Sven something?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot, and I'm the comic book guy. Yeah, I can't
remember right now. Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. Google it while I'm talking. Anyways, okay. You know, the problem with him wasn't that his CGI was bad. The problem was that he was CGI at all. that was a decision made long before Joss Whedon ever stepped onto that set. They decided to I mean, we know that you can put a person in a big headdress because Tim Curry did it in Legend. We don't need to have a CGI villain that looks like he came out of a Xena Warrior Princess episode when we've got $300 million or $400 million or $500 million in this movie. It's ridiculous to have that. It was ridiculous. It was, and just redesigning them and making them look a little bit more metal, which does look better, I will agree, wasn't the problem. The problem was that he was CGI to begin with. It's just, as good as CGI is, and this wasn't very good CGI, but as good as CGI is, it is always preferable to have an actual person play the actual role so that you can see the actual expressions.
Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf.
Yeah. How can Darkseid is actually going to show up in.
Yeah. So he's going to show up because that's another thing. Whatever. That wasn't going to happen originally. You know, that wasn't going to happen originally.
Actually, I think it was.
I don't think so.
There were rumors of that. And that's so like the whole Snyder Cut thing. I'm sure you probably haven't been reading the articles on why he's doing it, and the idea of like one of the reasons he ended up leaving was because of his daughter.
Of course. Yes. And he had every reason to go. Yeah.
And it wasn't like he did when I read the articles. It's here's the thing. He didn't leave directly because of his daughter's passing. He left because of the combination. There was so much animosity between the studio and him.
Yeah.
And then when his daughter passed, it was like, that's it. He even tried to continue for another month, but he was like, I can't keep fighting the studio and do this. So now what ends up happening is obviously the fans have spoken and the studio is basically, all right, go ahead, make whatever you want, what you wanted to make, and we're not going to fight you on it.
No, what the studio said was, we are trying to launch this online streaming service and it's going poorly.
Yeah.
You have a rabid base of very vocal fans, and they are very small. That's the Snyder Cut people that are out there. They're just the very loud people in the middle of the concert. They're in thousands of people, most of whom are going, what are they talking about over there? Nobody cares about this. First of all, there was never a Snyder Cut, and that is clear because he is it right now. No, there was never a Snyder Cut. He didn't finish it.
There was.
No, there wasn't. There was never one. He didn't finish it. He left before he could. And honestly, I mean, can you blame, as much as I like to blame studios for being spineless and manipulative when it comes to these things, the reality is they put a lot of faith in Zack Snyder to deliver what they thought was going to be a great product, and he didn't deliver. And that's just the fact of the matter. I mean, Batman v Superman, that was a train wreck. That was a disaster of a movie. It was a box office flop. And you look at it and you're like, whose 6-year-old child wrote this movie? It is just incomprehensible to me that got through the way it did. And so they looked at that and they said, we've given this man millions more to make this new movie. In fact, he said in an interview recently, 3 Justice League movies. He wanted 3, and then he cut it down to 2, and then he cut it down to 1, and they were like, it has to run under 2 hours. So, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. So I don't necessarily blame the studios for looking at his performance and going, wait a second, whatever you're doing is not selling, so you've got to do something different, and he's going to fight him on it. Of course he is.
Yeah.
This is, to me, there was a lot of things that all happened at once. One, Marvel has an aesthetic that Warner Brothers and DC did not want to ape. They did not want to make more bright, colorful, cartoony-like movies, which was basically what Marvel does. And, I mean, Marvel's been making the same movie since basically The Incredible Hulk. You know, it's the same movie over and over again, right? I mean, we can all basically agree on that.
They're all formulas. Yeah, they're formulaic, but it works.
Superhero gets his powers. Other person gets the exact same powers of the superhero. They fight each other. Superhero wins. That's pretty much all of them.
Right.
You know, at least the first.
Man. The first Iron Man was the same thing.
First Iron Man.
Obadiah gets the suit, and then they fight at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Iron Man. It's The Incredible Hulk. It's Captain America, except it was in reverse because the Red Skull got the powers first. You know, it's all the same things over and over again. So, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So they said, we want to go somewhere different. And Zack Snyder probably pitched them, but probably didn't really have to, and just said, you know, I'm going to make something darker and more realistic and more gritty. And they were like, that's what we need. That's what we need. And the fans took a look at it and went, oh, that's not what we want, though. That's
right.
Not what we want. And I don't fault Zack for that any more than I fault the studios for pulling the plug on Zack when they figured out that it wasn't what the people wanted. I mean, they got bottom line to worry about. And his artistic vision, whether he thinks it's the best and some of his fans think it's the best or not, the reality is the majority of people do not agree. It is not the best. It is the worst, and it sucks.
Well, would you also... I've said this to my buddy John, too, on my other podcast. We've gone back and forth with this. Isn't DC kind of behind... they're kind of screwed because they come second. Marvel started their universe, right?
No,
and now they come out... If they copy what Marvel does and comes out colorful... Everybody goes, well, they're just doing what Marvel does. But they come out and do something darker, trying to be different, and everybody goes, that's too dark. We like what Marvel does. Aren't they damned if they do, damned if they don't?
I don't think so. I think that's a silly way of looking at it. I don't think that you need to.
Thanks.
You know, I'm just going to be, I mean, you called me up here to be with my kid gloves, but,
I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm picking up listeners because you're ragging on me. Go ahead.
The reality is that people, you know, they literally can't get enough Marvel movies, right?
Right.
They cannot get enough. Like, Marvel can't pull them out fast enough. People are still going to see them.
But you know why? The same reason you and I are sitting here right now. Well, they love shared universes.
They do, but they don't have to. They don't have to.
They don't have to.
But The Conjuring has a shared universe, and I watched 20 minutes of The Nun and went, what garbage is this? And turned that off immediately. I love horror movies.
I don't know if that's – I know you do, but that's not as compelling to me. And I don't think horror movies are as compelling to the masses as the comic book movies are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't think that if they had come out – because first of all –
You're right. No,
every Superman movie up until the most recent ones have been bright, colorful, cartoony things, and they could have kept with that aesthetic just fine. You know, even the one with Brandon Routh.
Brandon Routh. Yeah, the Superman Returns.
Yes, which was also colorful and kind of goofy, and that was fine. They could have stayed with that aesthetic.
Right.
The problem I have with Zack Snyder's vision for the Man of Steel, the Justice League's, all those movies, the problems I have with that is they disrespect the characters on a very fundamental level. Yes. It was a near constant thing. And people will, and I hate it when they say this, they're like, well, if you look at the Tim Burton movie, he takes that bomb and shoves it down that guy's pants and pushes him down the thing and he blows up. I'm like, yeah, okay. So when the Roadrunner, makes the coyote step in front of a truck, it's funny because it's goofy and we know it's meant to be goofy. And that was meant to be goofy. And we all kind of said, I remember thinking when I saw it in the theater the first time, yeah, he probably didn't die. You know, I mean, that's what I said. I was like, he probably didn't die because it was funny.
Batman Returns, wasn't it? That was the second one where he's on the rooftop. Yeah, because I just reviewed that one at Christmas time, and I made that comment. I was like, hey, he killed somebody there, but you're right. If it's off camera, it's different.
It's played up for laughs. And
right.
And even when they tried to bring it back around with Bruce Wayne, like getting mad at Superman for destroying Metropolis and everything else, you know, this whole darker image that they were going for, to me, disrespects the characters. And I don't necessarily blame him for it. I think that he comes from it from a place of love.
Artistic license.
You know, yeah. Well, not only that, if you look at like the Batman Arkham Asylum and those games. I mean, he's punched some of those moves that you see at the very beginning of the Batman v Superman movie are almost directly out of that video game. Like, he's punching people through the their heads into the floors and stuff like that. And that's, you know, that's not only fan service, but it's like staying true to the whatever. But again, like the Tim Burton Batman where, you know, he killed somebody, but it was off camera and it was a little goofy. This is a video game. And it's, we don't think of the Batman, you know, the, when you're punching people and it looks cool, part of it that you're controlling, the same as the cutscenes, which are decidedly less him punching people through, you know, floors and killing them. You know, clearly killing everybody. I think, you know, Zach came at it and he's done interviews where it's clear that his vision of what, you know, a more realistic superhero is something I'm interested in seeing. I'm just not interested in seeing Superman do it.
Right. Yeah. My buddy and I had this conversation a couple years ago, and we went back and forth, and I couldn't wrap my head around it because I'm a Superman fan, have been my whole life. I'm a Batman fan. But again, I let these movies wash over me. I let these things happen, and I don't get wrapped up in that. Well, that doesn't follow the the history of the character.
I've never read a Superman comic book in my life. I've seen the movies. I've never read a Superman comic book in my life.
But a lot of people are very upset that Superman killed. Like, and we had that discussion, and I couldn't wrap my head around it until I can't remember what my buddy said. He got through to me. It was like literally in the middle of a sentence, it like a light bulb went off, and I'm like, you're absolutely right. It's like any other character can do that, but Superman, that's the point of Superman, is he would always find a way to get out of that. So when Zack Snyder had that happen, when he killed Zod at the end of the first one, the Man of Steel, that's not something Superman does. You're not, excuse me, you're not true to the character. But that's what Snyder does. And I mean, have you heard the rumor or the report that he wanted to have Bruce Wayne have a love interest, like he had a love interest type thing with Lois Lane?
Oh, wow, that would have gone over well.
That, exactly. So that was supposed to be in the Snyder Cut, but it's not, I guess it's not going to be in the Snyder Cut. But one of his first ideas was that while Superman's gone, it never comes to fruition from what the story was. It was just that he felt he had.
Can we all agree that Amy Adams has been absolutely wasted on these movies? I would watch her read the newspaper half the time. I mean, she is fantastic actress. And they're like, she's like the MacGuffin half the time. I'm like, she is so much better than all of this. And I am disappointed in their treatment of her in these movies. I think she's fantastic. But sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No. I was just saying that you're right, but that's what Zack Snyder does. He takes liberties with things. That's what he wants to do.
Well, that's fine, and there's no problem with that, but it's like anything else. It's like you can say whatever you want. Like, you know, people are debating right now freedom of speech constantly. You know, freedom of speech this, freedom of speech this. You can say anything you want, but it doesn't mean that after you finish saying it, everybody else has to not react to it or have opinions about it. Zack Snyder can feel however he wants about Superman and Batman and Lois Lane, all that stuff. I just don't agree with him, and most people agree with me. You know, when you look at how Superman interacted with Zod, you know, as far as, you know, the comic books and, you know, in comic book fights versus the fights in the movies, he always in the comic books finds a way to move the fight away from populated areas, not knocking down, you know, millions and millions of dollars worth of buildings in a crowded metropolis, which is both the name and the type of city that it is. But, the disregard, like the unthinkingness, like And it comes down to me is like, it's like the special effects, you know, how cool it will look to throw somebody through a building was more important than whether or not Superman would actually throw somebody through a building. Like, I got no problems if Zod does it, but Superman should be mad that it happened and should try to stop it from happening.
Right.
But instead, that's, you know, even in Justice League, when they're in that whatever Sokovia Light city they're in at the end there, I don't know what to call it, the one with the smokestack for the reactor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're still throwing cars around, and he's, like, you know, nuking stuff left and right like it's no big deal. I'm like, there's supposed to be people in this city, you know? Like, he picks up one building and takes it out, and the Flash takes out one car, and that's everybody? I'm supposed to believe with all those buildings around that you were throwing cars through and flying through and punching through that nobody else? They were all in that one building? Is that... Yeah, I feel like he should have a little bit more care. You know, he, as basically, you know, the stand-in for Jesus in the DC universe, which is what he kind of is. He's always right.
Yeah.
He's always on the side of right. He always tries to do good. That he shouldn't just throw Zod through three or four or five skyscrapers in a row because it looks cool on camera.
Well, in Man of Steel, you have that image of him coming out of the spaceship in the, you know, form of Jesus.
Yeah.
He's going back into space, making the sign of the cross. And that whole Superman Jesus thing has been pretty much since the beginning of Superman.
Yeah. This is Zack Snyder's Jesus is a little angrier than the regular Jesus.
Sorry. Yeah.
He's a little bit on the vengeful side. He's the vengeful Jesus.
Yeah. All right, so getting to Justice League itself, the existing copy. What are you watched it last night. What are you hoping gets changed? What are you looking for? What would you be looking for when you do end up seeing the Snyder Cut?
A coherent story would be nice. Something that just made
well,
sense.
Well, he's got 4 hours.
Yeah. So as I watched it last night, one of the things I was thinking, I was like, okay, what if this is Joss? And what of this is Zach, you know, and it's fairly easy to point out if you are in any way familiar with either of their works. But anytime I laughed or, you know, found myself smiling or being goofy or sometimes even cringing, I was like, that's Joss. And anytime I saw a scene, I went, ooh, that looks cool. That was Zach, right? And then everything else in between was kind of cut. You know, there was so little in that movie to anchor us to anything. Like, there was no, you know, we just kind of assumed that Batman and Wonder Woman were going to work together. Like, we were supposed to assume that. And I'm okay with that, as long as that's the only thing I have to assume. And then the Flash came along and he was like, I need friends. I'm like, well, yeah, okay. And then he started tripping over stuff and I'm like, less okay. And then, you know, in the middle of fights, like, they would stop and talk to each other. I was like, well, this is kind of cute. They're funny. And then all of a sudden, Batman turns and jumps off this thing, and it's like this beautiful cinematic Zack Snyder shot. I'm like, well, that came out of nowhere. I mean, there's just so little to hold on to. Do you expect less humor? I do.
Because they said there's going to be no Whedon cuts at all in the Snyder Cut.
I wouldn't expect there to be.
He took all of them out.
It's very clear, and as you hear about what happened with Joss and Ray Fisher and all of that, you know, we don't really know what happened. Like, none of us do.
Right.
But it's kind of like, you can kind of like read between the lines, and you're like, Joss is sitting there telling him, you know, I know that you were told you were going to be the main character that was the through line here, but no one cares about a black character. I feel like that's probably what was said or implied.
Really?
Or something else. That's what I feel. And then he shoehorned in the Flash as being the new heart of it. And it didn't work. I mean, I like Ezra Miller. I think he was fine.
Yeah.
Didn't I mean, I thought he was funny and stuff like that. He kind of came off as the Flash is always supposed to be a little bit goofy. I thought he came off a little too millennial for me. You know, I felt like he should have just been a little bit more. He's supposed to be a lot smarter than he came off.
Yes.
I also hated the fact that he kept tripping over everything.
Right.
I'm like, come on, dude. The dude literally does nothing but run. You think, and he could see at nearly the speed of light. You think he can't, like, not
like,
trip on something?
Right. I don't know if you've watched the CW Flash show.
I have watched a lot of it, but not every
I love
season.
That show. I love that Barry Allen.
I like him quite a bit as well.
He's really good. Yeah, and... But they did a really good job of making him smart, making him a little bit goofy. It's a lighter hearted show, but Barry has a ton of emotion. He has a ton of heart. But usually you'll find with people with a ton of heart like that, they are more humorous people. They're lighthearted. They can make jokes. I thought that show was a very good mix.
Yeah.
And then you end up with Ezra Miller's portrayal is I like him. I just wish that exactly like you said, slow down the look. It's almost like I feel like they were trying to say like he's thinking so fast that he can't even speak right. You know what I mean? Because he'd be like, but I want to do this, but so I'm hungry now.
If you've
like
ever,
ADD big time.
Yeah. If you've ever listened, there's a song. I can't remember the name of the band that sings it, but the name of the song is The Ballad of Barry Allen. And basically, it is all about how miserable Barry Allen is because everything is so slow. Like, talking to people is hard because he has to sit there and wait for you to slowly get out your words because he is moving at such a higher speed. I think that's a fantastic take on that. So what I expect from the Snyder Cut is that Barry Allen is the one comic relief in the whole thing. I feel like he's not going to have very many lines that aren't like where we saw him enter the bat cave and go, ooh, it's a bat. And it's like a bat cave. And then he runs around to all the different stuff. Probably the lines cut because that's probably a Joss line. But the running around and going to all the different things, that's the sort of thing I expect to say in the Snyder Cut as he is going to lighten things up a little bit. But I am very interested. I think the thing I am most interested in about the Snyder Cut is, I don't even want to call it a cut, but the Snyder version is seeing Ray Fisher's Cyborg fleshed out. Because there was a ton of potential there. And this whole wrestling with humanity, which I think is, for most of these characters, is a really big thing. Is that, you know, I thought I was normal, and then now I'm not. And how do I deal with that? You know, Bruce Wayne has already kind of resigned himself to not being normal, and Superman is just trying to be normal constantly. So he's a very good character to anchor this movie. So I'm interested in that part of it. You know, there is just not enough that I look at the 2 hours that I know that are there, and I'm wondering what you can add to that 2 hours to make it suck less. And I don't know that adding two more hours to this is going to make me go, well, that's what I needed. I just feel like, you know,
well, you're at,
go ahead.
You're actually adding almost 2.5 probably.
Right. Right.
Once you take out Whedon stuff, you're adding an entire new movie.
And I think the best movies that have ever really been made have not been fully controlled by one person or one small group of people. So when you look at a movie that, this is not always true, but I think for the most part, you know, you look at the movie and you're like, this is one of my favorite all-time movies. If you look behind the scenes, you're like, the director wanted to do all this, but the studio only gave him enough money to do this. So they had to cut these corners and do these things. And that's why that everything works the way it does. So there's like a constraint that happens, but not an overarching like control that like there's not somebody that's saying you need to put this product placement in here and do this and hit these beats and everything else. That's why I think the Marvel movies tend to work. I am not a movie maker, so I don't know. I'm speaking as a layperson, but I feel like the Marvel movies say, listen, these are, you know, these are the characters you have to work with. I'm thinking Guardians of the Galaxy right now. These are the characters you have to work with. They all have to live at the end. Okay. So just so you know, you can't kill any of them.
Here's the beginning. Here's the end. Give me the middle.
You know, there has to be an Infinity Stone, and this is the one that you're dealing with. And this is the bad guy, and you can kill him. Okay. But however you get us there, you get us there. You know, these are the plot points we have to hit. And if you look at the first Avengers movie, and I've said this before, if you look at the first Avengers movie, there's the fight between Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor, right when they fall off that plane or whatever,
they get
Loki. And, yep. And at one point, I think it's Iron Man says, "Are we done here?" Right? It's almost like Joss was saying, "Okay, I did it. I did the fight scene you wanted to see. Right. I've done it. So can we go on with the rest of my movie now?" Which I believe is kind of what they do. Like, okay, there has to be a fight scene between these three characters. There has to be this. There has to be that. And at the end, this is where we need to end up. Make it happen. And I think that's, you know, that giving you a little bit of structure, I think, is good. Having Zack Snyder, who I have already said I like a lot of his movies, have complete control over this thing, which clearly he doesn't have complete, or I guess Lois Lane would be schnocking with Bruce Wayne. So, you know, however that's supposed to work out. But having him have the majority of control, I don't think is going to, in the end, make for a better experience. I think it'll make for a much different experience. I think it'll look better. I'm sure it'll look better. But I don't think it will necessarily be better. I think it actually might be quite a bit worse.
You actually think it could be worse?
I think it could be worse. I don't think the Justice League, as I watched it last night, I didn't hate it. I actively feel revulsion towards Batman v Superman as I watch it. I get angry at that movie for existing in the form that it does. Yeah, I really actively hate that movie. Whereas Justice League, I'm like, this is not great, but there's some good moments. I really like all the characters. You know, I would watch Gal Gadot just walk down the street. Like, what's she doing now? I don't care what she's doing. Like, she's sitting there like...
She does that a few times in the movie.
She's brushing that little statue at that one point. They're like, what did you do this weekend? I'm like, dude, why are you even talking? Why aren't you just staring there? Because that's what most people would do. And not just because she's beautiful, because she's captivating.
Yes.
She has a presence on stage and on the screen that just draws your attention. When I was back in college, late high school, early college, I was directing one act plays, and I went to a competition for my one act play, which we did very well at. We were watching the other plays, and as this one play started, and there's characters doing stuff on the stage, and this one girl, I'll call her a girl because she was in high school, walked out, and she walked out and said nothing. She walked out, and I swear to you, every person, man, woman, child that was in that audience held their breath until she spoke. There was something about her that was just like, and I couldn't tell you what she looked like because it didn't matter. She was just riveting. And that's the way I feel about Gal Gadot and most of what, like, as soon as they put the Amazons on, I'm like, shut up. I'm paying attention. Because this is gonna be cool. Like, their action scenes are the best. Everything about them is the best. But so there are the characters I like. I mean, I've heard complaints about Jason Momoa. I don't agree with them. I like him in that. I like Ezra Miller in this. I think he's fine. I don't necessarily love all his lines, but I think he's fine. Alfred made me laugh a couple of times. If I was gonna say there was one person that, and people complain about what's his name? The Superman. What's his
Henry
name?
Henry Cavill?
Yeah, Henry Cavill, all the time. I'm like, okay. First of all, I have a hard time blaming actors, for the most part, unless they're William Hurt, for their performances. I think that actors are...
Where did that come from?
Oh, I can't stand William Hurt. I absolutely cannot stand that, man.
I couldn't let that go unnoticed.
No, William Hurt. William Hurt is
like,
literally...
Except for William Hurt. Like, what the...
William Hurt is just... He's one of those actors where I'm like, oh, jeez. He's just wooden. Like, he's wooden. He has no affect. He's no emotion. He's supposed to be angry. You could tell by his voice. When you look at his face, you're like... I know you didn't have Botox because your eyebrows are moving, but what is wrong with your face? I cannot watch that man. Okay. And if you like William Hurt, I'm sorry. I'm sure.
I couldn't.
I'm talking about your seven listeners.
Your listeners, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, who've made it this far, maybe five. But, you know, I think he does fine. I think he does a fine Superman. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Superman. I very much feel like he's being directed to do what he does, and he's doing it well. Because I've seen him in other stuff, and he's fine in that. So there's no reason why he couldn't be fine in this. And if anything, you're like, well, he doesn't seem quite human. I'm like, yeah, he's Superman. Of course he doesn't seem quite human. He's not supposed to be quite human when he's being Superman. You know, there's the characters, for the most part, are all really, really good. If anybody, if I had to knock anybody for the performance, I really felt like Ben Affleck kind of let Batman down on this one.
Really? I liked Ben Affleck in this.
As an older
Batman, I thought he did a great job.
Oh, he's too young to be an older Batman. I'm an older Batman. He's not an older Batman. I mean, he's older than I am, but he looks half my age. So, I mean, he does not.
Well, they put the little gray on his sideburns.
Please. Oh, please. They needed to, like, you know, they needed to really play that up, especially within the last movie. He was doing the flipping the tires CrossFit crap, whatever that was. Like, I do that every day, right? You know, I'm out there.
I'm looking for one of those tires.
This is Florida, dude. You just go out in the swamp, you'll find 10 of them. We got a whole bunch of them here.
I don't want to find what else I'd find out there, though.
Yeah, a lot of gators. So I felt like Ben Affleck, who I have loved in many, many things, I think is a very, very good actor. And I don't necessarily think it's his performance. Like you said, he's meant to be an older, tireder, more jaded Batman. And I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. He's also, if you look at the way that his physique is, if you look at the Frank Miller Batman, he looks a lot like that.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of bulky, like super bulky, super buff. And I am
thick.
Yes.
He doesn't have the athletic V.
Right.
He's a thicker Batman that's just like, he's just big and bulky straight down like a tank. And I thought that Affleck nailed that.
Well, I think he did too. I didn't buy any of it.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't buy it. And like I said, I don't necessarily think it's his fault. I think that it was the character he was asked to play. He played it as well as he could. And I just looked at it and went, eh, nah. You know, and his stupid head doesn't move. You know, he's got a cowl where his head can't move. He's got to, like, do the shoulder turn at you every time.
Well, yeah. Well, Christian Bale went over that in one of the Batmans where he asked for a head that can move.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And apparently he forgot how to do that in his old age. I don't know. He went back to the old
exactly.
ones. It's just, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, are you telling me costumers can't come up with this? You got all these cosplayers. They make stuff where, you know, they're basically Voltron, you know, and three of their friends or five of their friends are banding together to help them turn into a Voltron, but we can't get a Batman whose head moves? Come on, guys. Come on. Come on.
Wasn't in the budget.
Yeah.
All right. Jason Momoa, you mentioned Jason Momoa. Yeah. That was a risk.
Oh my
Casting
God. I thought,
Jason Momoa.
I thought that was like the easiest softball ever. Are you kidding me? Jason Momoa.
Well, but he reinvented Aquaman. For all intents and purposes, because up until Jason Momoa was cast, Aquaman had short blonde hair.
Yes.
And he was the joke of the Justice League. The joke was, why does Wonder Woman have a plane
if
to
the boys
truck
are,
Aquaman
if the,
around?
If the boys are around, are to be believed that Aquaman's still the joke of the Justice League, which is why their Aquaman character on the boys is the one who's always getting abused. Yeah, so there for me is an example of where you can take the most risks. You know, that's the kind of risk that you should be taking. You don't take a risk by making Superman a murderer. You take a risk by taking a character that nobody really likes, or maybe even a character like Barry Allen, and who, you know, everybody kind of knows, but he's not like one of the main guys, and you can kind of take risks there. Taking a risk with him, I thought, was like the easiest decision anybody ever made. They're like, so we can do another white dude who talks to fish, or we can cast somebody who's, you know, who's more interesting. And he is, I really like, okay, I'm a rock climber, and Jason Momoa is also a rock climber, so he's going to be A-okay in my book no matter what. But, I felt like he did a really good job in this. I've heard complaints about his performance as being the worst in it. I thought he was fine. The biggest problem I had with him is, he didn't get enough screen time. You know, he just didn't, there just wasn't enough of him for him to even make a real impression. You know, we saw him and Batman in that fishing village a bunch. And then he just kind of said some stuff every once in a while, and that was it.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah, it's almost, you did want more.
Well, that was the whole problem more of them. The original Justice League is that they said it needs to be under 2 hours, and Joss said, okay, I will cut out everything that's not like a really cool action scene that's already been filmed and already been done, and I will add in some funny interactions between the characters. And plot be damned. And that, I think that's what we ended up with. And that's why that movie's so bad.
So hopefully in this 4 hour, we get quite a bit more of Aquaman.
I would think so. Yeah.
Hopefully. But that's where that one of the risks that really paid off. I mean, completely reinvented the character.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of people don't like the Aquaman movie, but a lot of people do.
I didn't hate it. I saw it once. I didn't hate it.
I thought it was fun. I loved the movie. I've seen it a few times. It's colorful as all get out. I mean, right. 3D. So, I know you don't like 3D, but it looks great.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. We were talking about colorful movies, and you're like, and right here we are, right after this movie that's dark and dreary and everybody hated it, and they come out with an Aquaman movie that's colorful. And by the way, James Wan, who directed that movie, I used to climb with his cousin in Australia.
Just oh, nice.
Totally weird, random thing. His name was George. And it still is George, unless he's dead. Which I
don't it was George.
But I think he changed it after he met you. He hasn't changed his name as far as I know, but I haven't really talked to him. But James Wan, I thought, did a fantastic job. And he's a horror director, too. That's where he cut his teeth, is in horror movies. So I thought they did a great job. Colorful movie, fun movie, goofy movie. You know, and people are like, well, we needed to separate the DC universe. No, you didn't. You needed to make a good movie. Like, all you need to do, make a good movie. I don't care what color it is or what, you know, style it is. It doesn't have to be realistic. It doesn't have to be not realistic. It doesn't have to be colorful. It doesn't have to be dark. It just has to be good. And in the midst of all of this, trying to separate ourselves from Marvel and to be gritty and ultra realistic and everything else, we forgot that in the end, if you say, go save Martha, and no one on their right mind ever refers to their mother by their first name ever, especially right when they're about to die, people are going to go, did he really just say Martha? I'm sorry. Did that man just say Martha?
You know what's so funny? I never thought of that. Till you just said that. Like, why isn't he saying mom?
Everybody would say mom. Save my mother. Who's your mother? Her name is Martha. Okay. That's a normal human interaction that people would have. Even people from Krypton.
You are 100% right. Oh.
You don't look up and say,
save things just wash
Martha
over me? I'm an idiot. It's. I'm not but no, you're right. It's like me on my deathbed going, Peggy. Peggy.
That would be weird. Who's Peggy?
Yeah. My mom.
Oh, okay.
You didn't get that? That's well, what I said. Me on my deathbed going,
I mean, your wife could be named Peggy. How do I know?
No, but we're calling out our moms. All and right. If you were going to call out your mom's name as you're dying, you wouldn't yell their name. You would yell mom. You're right. I never even thought of that.
I mean, it's just so okay. The problem, this is why I think, and when we talk about that, this is why I think Justice League, the Snyder 4 hour masturbatory version, is going to be bad. Okay. Why it's going to be bad is because if you look at the dialogue that currently exists in this movie outside of what is clearly Joss's influence, it is terrible. It's a terrible, terribly written movie that makes no sense whatsoever. And if you look at Batman v Superman and you say, if this is what he does when he's not, you know, not fighting with the studio, and we have this Martha type, supposed to be the most climactic, important moment of the entire movie. And it's written so poorly as to make half if not most of the people, laugh out loud in confusion as to what is going on and everything else. And then he yells something completely unintelligible and unexpected and unrealistic. You know, this is the writing that was going on when he was uninhibited. So, you know, expect a lot more of that in this movie, I would suspect. Yeah, I think that Justice League will have a lot more of that. And that's why I believe, you know, what I didn't do was sit there and take notes while I was watching last night. But I remember the number of times I rolled my eyes and went, really?
So you think it could be worse because it's more drawn out and it's you get into more stuff that you're like, oh, my God, get over it. Like, get on with it.
I mean, not only with that. I mean, having 4 hours, 5 hours of footage in a movie, that's not unusual. And it's, you know, the editing process is where making the movie actually happens. You shoot everything. You're like, we're going to shoot every scene that we think might make sense for this movie. And then we piece it together like a jigsaw puzzle in order to make the most sense. Right?
We don't make it flow, too.
Right. And what we don't do is say, well, you know, everything I do is brilliant. So, you know, I'm just going to like use all of it and then turn it into a 4 hour plus movie, which I think is what he said that was going to be 4 hours and, you know, I think 5-10 minutes or something like that. That's just a ludicrous amount of time. I mean, I'm just not spending that much time with that movie, but I will have to do it in stages. He might as well released it, you know, in episodes like they were talking about, but,
yeah. I guess there are breaks. I read that too. There are not little breaks, literal breaks, but there are like the screen goes black and there's a title page and then you get into the next chapter. So I think there's
that
four chapters.
Break up the flow at all.
No.
I would be surprised if that ends. I would be surprised if it was that way. I'm not saying that's not.
That's what I've read. I thought he said that. And that's why there was a debate on whether it should come out in four pieces or if it should come out all in 4 hours. He wanted the 4 hours, so I don't know. But
the
interview
he did with
IGN
chapters. Did not suggest that, and that was a very recent interview that it was going to be one continuous movie. But I sat. It's like a 20, 30, 40 minute interview, so he talked about a lot of stuff. So I might have missed that, but yeah.
So it's. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually trying to, if I make my own schedule, so I'm actually trying to schedule that day so that I can have, I mean, it's 4 hours, so.
Yeah. I would schedule like 10 a.m. at 10 a.m. to 2:05. Well, 3:05, because you should take a lunch.
Yeah, I may. I mean, yeah. Whatever. All right. I wanted to get to, I heard you guys talk about it last week, but the 1:37:1 aspect ratio. If you can't see him right now, everybody, he's rolling his eyes.
Right. So this is another one of those Monday morning quarterback things. And he talked about this a lot in the video that the interview with IGN that he did. And what this is, you know, IMAX. You know, he didn't film it with IMAX cameras because he said IMAX cameras don't have sound, which is a thing I did not know, but apparently that is true. But, you know, he filmed it, you know, with the IMAX, you know, ratio in mind. And that's fine. I got no problems with that. But the idea that he had, I had always intended to release it in this aspect ratio is complete and total BS. I don't believe it for a second. He always assumed, like he may have wanted to, but he always assumed that this movie was coming out in at the very least 16 by 9, probably 2:35:1, because that's what movie theaters are. So I don't think that he ever really, you know, all this talk of, I always wanted, my director's vision was to be, shut up. No, it wasn't. Shut up. You know, and just shut up. You may have wanted that, but you know, I want $1 million. It's not happening. So you didn't think this was going to happen either. So you planned every shot knowing that it was going to be at very least you had to cut it down to 16 by 9 and probably 2:35:1. So you shot it that way. You know, you did, but you maybe had an eye with, okay, you know, the IMAX ratio is one that it will be also be shown in. So I want to make sure it really looks good there because that's my favorite one. fine.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. But I don't buy the rest of that garbage.
Well, I like the idea of what he's doing just for the aspect of similar to talking about that folding TV. He's trying something different. And we're going to get to see a more, like, I've seen some screenshots of here's the, you know, here's the shot that would be in like a 2351. And here it is in his new IMAX shot.
Right.
And it is a more dramatic look.
Well, it's a more personal look. You get a greater amount of the characters on the screen versus the background, which is why...
the landscape, yeah. The wide view for landscapes. And he's used that reference in his interviews. Like, if you're shooting like a... Like, I just watched Lord of the Rings today, the second one.
Sure.
And that is just... It's just gorgeous. Right. Absolutely. The panning shots that they're taking of following them run through fields and stuff, it's just... That it's just unreal, right? But then you look at these IMAX shots and you're seeing the heroes, they're taking up the full screen, the height of the screen.
Right.
And it reminds me that my sister is in advertising. She works for this company that basically she goes in and helps companies rebrand themselves and everything, right? And one of the things that she's always told me is like, there's a reason posters are vertical. And it's just a more dynamic look. If you took a movie poster and put it horizontal and designed it that way, people would be like, what? It doesn't seem... It's just a vertical right. image. It's just
By definition, it puts the characters further away from you. Because in order to see them, they have to be smaller because the height is smaller. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be something that maybe... I know Cameron...
I don't have any problems with it. My problem is with his claim that it was always his intention to show it this way, which is...
That's what I was going to get to. Cameron used to shoot this way, and like he shot... But for a completely different reason. And this was back in the 90s. He shot The Abyss in this aspect ratio, but do you know why?
I probably did at one point, but go on.
Because that's what TVs were. And he knew that the mass market was going to be VHS and that people were going to... So you actually got more on the VHS version. They, instead of putting black bars in, they actually took the black bars away. And I thought back then that was genius. I had to own both because I want to see what you saw in the movies. But at the same time, he was doing it for an actual reason back then, knowing that the masses were going to watch this on their 4x3 TV.
I don't know if that's something to aspire to, but yes.
I'm not saying it's something to aspire to, but it's a reason that they had these people, like a guy like Snyder, a guy like Cameron, they are thinking ahead. So I don't...
If Snyder was thinking ahead, he would do it in 16x9. Because that's what everybody has. That's what the standard aspect ratio is. So 4 to 3 or, you know, whatever he's doing it in is not standard. That's very unstandard. That's only in certain IMAX screens and only the biggest IMAX screens, which are not a common screen that you can even find. The IMAX screens that you can normally find are 16x9. That's what they are. You know, so... That's why it feels disingenuous to me. And, you know, again, I watched that entire, 40 minute or whatever it was, IGN interview with Zack Snyder at the very end. I was like, you know what? If the litmus test for a politician is, do I want to have a beer with him? I'd have a beer with Zack Snyder.
Oh, God.
Seems like a cool dude. Seems like he's interested. He's passionate. You know, he loves what he does and he cares about it. You know, I disagree with him on some things, but you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's very easy when we don't listen to the people and hear a person speak about what they care about to assume that they're the villain in this whole thing. Like, oh, I didn't like Justice League, therefore Zack Snyder is a piece of garbage. That's just not the case. He did not go into making this movie to make a movie that would make you angry. He went in to make this movie to make a movie that he thought would propel the characters into a place that was more realistic, that was more gritty, that'd be more challenging, that would be more interesting than what you had seen before. The fact that you disagreed and a lot of people agreed with you, it doesn't mean that it came from a place where he was trying to make anybody angry. I felt like, at the end of that interview, I was like, he's going to make the movie he wants to make. And I think that Zack Snyder is going to go on to make some absolutely fantastic movies. I really absolutely believe he cannot do it with any existing well-known characters. Like, he is the indie comic movie maker guy.
Yeah.
He can take a comic that nobody's heard of, 300, Sucker Punch, and to a certain extent, Watchmen, which was, people knew about that one, and that's kind of why that movie ended up.
They were like the Guardians of the Galaxy of DC.
Yeah, and just really take it and run with it, and people will just absolutely go nuts for it, because his style and his cinematography and his sense of color and action and everything else is just amazing. I love watching it. I just wish that they had not given him this. And I believe that if you sat him and Frank Miller down in a booth together at a bar, and they talked about a perfect movie, what he has put out already, they would have both agree were good, because I think that that's kind of the direction that Frank Miller was going. But I just don't think that as a whole we are ready to hear or to experience that. Not if we're not going to have truly old Batman, truly old Superman, truly old Wonder Woman, truly, you know what I mean? Like, where you know that they're not just the current versions of, you know, that we all know and love of these characters, but they are actually characters that are different in some way. And while they tried to do that with Ben Affleck, dude, that dude still looks like he's like 36 years old. I mean, he doesn't look old. You can put gray all over him. He still wouldn't look old. You should have taken Jeremy Irons and put him in the suit. And then I would have been like, okay, that's old Batman. That dude's different than regular Batman.
What's the guy's name that's playing Batman on Titans? Haven't seen Titans.
I have not seen it. No.
He's in Game of Thrones. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did watch Game of Thrones. Everything but the last season. Yeah.
Who was the guy that played Khaleesi's right hand man? Followed her all the way through the seasons. Loved her. He was exiled.
Oh, right. I know who you're talking about, but yes, he's the guy with the weird eye. Yeah. He's not really a weird eye, but the blonde guy or whatever,
blonde,
right?
Blonde,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He plays Bruce Wayne.
I could see that. I could see
that. It's an older Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Definitely an older Bruce Wayne.
But, you know, it was a poor cat. I think that Ben Affleck makes a great Batman. I just don't think he makes a great old, bitter, ready to kill himself Batman, which is what the Batman was in this thing. I'm like, dude, right. What are you gonna do? He's like, my back hurts. I'm like, my back hurts, dude. I'm 49 years old. My back hurts. What are you talking about? I woke up the other day and I couldn't get out of bed. Why? I don't know. I slept wrong? The other day I wrote an article, and while I was writing the article, I had my legs crossed. My hip still hurts. It's been like a week and my hip hurts from crossing my legs for an hour and a half. It's just, you know, don't tell me your back hurts, Batman. I'm supposed to believe you're 60. You're Ben Affleck. You're 35 years old. You'll always be 35 years old. Stop trying to be old. It's not going to happen.
All right.
This is why my podcast is called AV Rant and not AV Let's Talk at a Reasonable Volume.
Right. It's, yeah. I was trying to go this entire podcast without saying Tom puts the rant in AV Rant, but yeah. You just did it.
So let's talk about costumes, man. We haven't talked about costumes at all. We're going to talk about costumes?
Yes, please.
I mean,
what about them?
What do you think about the costumes? Did you have any problem with the costumes? You thought the costumes were okay? Thought everything was great? Didn't notice anything wrong with them whatsoever?
No, and that's what I'm waiting to hear.
Oh, my God.
because here's the thing. Is I used to have a company, not a company, but I started a thing called Just Details, and it was called – because it was doing art, drawing stuff for people, and it was like paintings or little tiny things, just details, right?
Yeah.
I am very detail-oriented. That's how
Your attention to detail in movies is leaving me to believe that maybe that's not as true as you think it is.
Well,
but go on.
But see, here's the thing. You can only pick up stuff that you actually know about.
Right. That is true.
All right? So if I'm watching a movie and I know like certain things aren't supposed to happen a certain way, I'll pay attention to some things. Like Lee and I, we got into discussions about sci-fi movies, about the way things should happen and shouldn't happen in movies. And it's like, I get it. The physics behind it, that shouldn't happen. I get the detail. I can understand that, but right. I can let it go.
Yeah,
this stuff here that we're going to talk about is, if you don't know, like, and that's why I was so fascinated by you making that point, that it wasn't that you
go
it
back
wasn't
and
that
watch
you told me something
movie.
I didn't know. It was so, told me something I never considered.
Just go back and watch that movie and look at Batman's costume in particular. Batman's yeah. costume in particular is an abomination. It is absolutely terrible. You can see how. And I don't understand how the lighting and all this stuff works, but you can look at it and go, why is there a black patch on okay. his shoulder right here? It's literally, it just looks like a sun. It doesn't look like a piece of armor. It doesn't right. look like it's, you know, it's some sort of supportive thing. There's just a black patch here for no real reason. And there's another black patch here. And then they show close-ups of his cowl, and it looks like, it looks like the liner of the bed of your truck. You know that rhino liner yeah. they sprayed
the
in
rough
there?
Stuff.
It's
the
like that rough stuff right there. You're like, so what is he wearing on his head? What is that? Why does it look that way? Right?
Is it supposed to be like hammered steel or something?
I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Right.
But what happens is, you know, those patches and those and the looks, and it's especially the close ups of his face where the cowl is coming across this way. It just kind of balloons across his jaw and stuff like that in a way that I think that if the lighting was different, it, you know, what those patches do is they are clearly there to accentuate musculature that he already has, but makes it, you know, more clear on a 2D screen. Right.
Yeah.
But it's not doing that because there's too much damn light in the room and it's the wrong color, you know, there's just so many scenes where you look at it and you're like, why do people look weird? Why does that look a little funny? You know, and then you see him do something else. And as he jumps off, like, in particular, it's the fight inside, the sewers or whatever that harbor island thing where they go across the
right.
sewers and the thing, and then they're fighting on that bridge, and he jumps off the bridge. Like, first of all, that jump off the bridge comes out of freaking nowhere. Like, they're all talking just normally. He's like, okay, I'm gonna go. Ah! And he's like, oh. And suddenly he looks right. Like, his cowl looks right. His costume looks right. And then it goes back to having weird blotches everywhere for no apparent reason. You know, the Flash's costume, which I really,
wasn't a fan of that one.
I really liked it, but I think, like, I looked at it, I was like, it kind of, you know, because he kind of described it at the very beginning, when Batman saw it, he was like, oh, it's the stuff that they use on the shuttles to keep it from burning up.
Right.
So you look at it, and you're like, you can kind of see, like, these different plates everywhere, and these different wires all kind of holding it together. You're like, this is a very smart person who took these materials and made them, and has it all going together. But it's, like, so well lit. Like, I can see the spandex underneath. You know, like, what goes in between the cracks there? How does that protect you between the cracks? Well, you're only noticing that because you can see it. Normally, you wouldn't have seen that. It would have just been obscured in shadow, and you would have thought the plates went everywhere.
Right.
But that's not what you're seeing.
See, what I didn't like about that one is I just wasn't a huge fan of the idea that it was such a new Flash. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more advanced Flash. And it was literally like he got his powers a week ago and he threw this stuff together. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I just,
they didn't really explain anything about the Flash. They didn't even really try, to be honest
right.
with you.
And I guess we're going to get more of that because he, I don't know if it's a dream sequence or it's a time jump or whatever, but
well,
he saves Iris.
There's
that scene that we've seen where he saves Iris on the street. So yeah. Maybe there's a little more backstory there with the Flash.
And we know that the dreams, well, first of all, Darkseid's going to show up. We know that.
Yep.
In some sort of, I think it'll be very perfunctory and just sort of flashbacky or, away. But, we also know that the dream that was in Batman v Superman where Flash shows up and it says I came too early or whatever, that's going to somehow have a payoff, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That was supposed to, yeah.
But, I just, I look at these little pieces, which are clearly meant to be going across multiple movies, and trying to shoehorn them all into this one because, the fact that I hated it so much in Batman v Superman doesn't make me look forward to getting the payoff in this movie. I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of wasted potential in a lot of these characters, and I don't necessarily blame anyone other than the studio, if that makes sense. You know, I feel like the studio said, Joss, marvel it up a little bit, you know, and give it to us another 2 hours. Can you do that? And it's like, yeah. And he went in there and went, okay, so we're going to make Flash the central character here because, you know, I'm Joss and that's what I'm going to do. And he's a millennial and I can speak that. And then you're not going to be the central character anymore, Ray. And that'll be the end of that. And then, you know, and then he just did whatever the studio told him to do, which is honestly, as a writer who's been writing for over, you know, at this point, many decades, I have often had people hand me a piece of their work and said, can you make this funny? And the answer to that question is, I cannot, because you are not a funny person. And if you could have made it funny, you would have made it funny. I'm reading it. It ain't funny. And there, I could put a joke in here, but it'd be like, you know, Rodney, like putting a Rodney Dangerfield quote in the middle of your,
right,
you know, technical paper. It doesn't work. And handing Zack Snyder's movie to Joss Whedon and asking Joss to make it a better movie is insane. It's ludicrous. It's never going to work. And I think the movie that we got was essentially, you know, it just went beat to beat from character introduction to fight scene to, you know, funny interaction between characters to character introduction to fight scene to, you know, funny interaction between characters and, oh yeah, Superman's back. And then blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, there are really big problems writing for some of these characters. You're putting Batman, who is rich, and that's basically it, you know, and then I guess a ninja, depending on which, you know, which timeline you want to look at or which origin story you want to look at. And then you have Superman, who's essentially, I just fly into the sun and I'm God now. That is, and having them all interact together and be useful is very, very hard to write for. And what writers tend to do when they're lazy and uninspired is they take the most powerful characters and they find some reason to get rid of them. And that's what they did with Superman. They got rid of Superman. And then Superman shows up, right, finally comes back, shows up, starts fighting Steppenwolf or whatever his name is, and punches him a couple times and goes, oh, there's people that need to be saved. I'm going to go save people. I'm sorry. Are these the same people whose houses you were just throwing things through a second ago? No. Are they in any way related to the people who died in Metropolis because you and Zod had a punch out in the middle of the city? No, not those people. Different people that you care more about? Oh, okay. You go off and then let's let Wonder Woman and Aquaman do the rest of the fight for a bit and then you can come back and laser them to death. You know, it's just, I look at that final fight scene, I'm like, I don't look at that scene and think, Joss wrote this. I look at that scene and went, this is what Zack wanted, and it sucks. And it's just bad. There's not a lot to look forward to there, and I don't see how he's gonna take what we already have, add stuff to it, and make it not end the way that it currently ends, which is a not good ending. As far as I'm concerned,
well, I don't think it's going to end anywhere near like it already ended. It's not even going to be close. They're talking big cameo from somebody. We have no idea where, what. And it's going to end. Have you seen the? It's going to end in a cliffhanger.
Well, he did say that. He did say that it was going to be a cliffhanger.
But he also said that he has no plans to do a sequel.
No, he has no plans. He has been told, I think, that they have no plans of paying for a sequel. I guarantee you he would do a sequel if they gave him the chance.
If the money was there, yeah.
Right, but they're not going to give him any more money for this. He has burnt this bridge. And it's not, I mean, honestly, I keep saying it, but it's not his fault. You know, no. The man had a vision. He executed that vision. He sold that vision to the CEO execs, and it didn't hit. And that happens all the time. It was a big flop. There's no doubt about it, but it's not necessarily his fault that it flopped. It was just a mismatch. And you can blame whomever you want on that. I don't blame him. I don't blame the actors. You know, I have a really hard time when you see these people online who will like go after an actor because they don't like the way they portray the character. Like, oh, right. you didn't like, you know, I'm like, do you think that actor just walked in there and said, I demand that I play this character this
right.
way? No. You know, there's a whole bunch of people who are like, oh, yeah, you're killing it. Oh, no. Can you change it this way? Because we really want to say it this way.
Right.
I, as an actor, when I was in college, you know, I did a scene where I was playing and, you know, got to remember this was in the 90s, guys. So, you know, cut me a little slack here. It was an interaction between a male and a female character. I was the male character. And we were talking, and it comes out in the middle of the conversation that I'm gay. Well, I played it just like me. I play it just like me, like I normally am. And when the gayness was revealed, the other character was shocked, which was what was written into the script. Well, the director, who was my instructor, because this was a class project, instructed me to play it completely flamboyant from beginning to end.
Well, and then where would the shock be?
There was none. Yeah. So his thought was the funny part was that she was shocked. And I was like, that's dumb. But you're my instructor, so what am I going to do? Not right. do it? So I did it, and every single piece of feedback we got from my fellow students was, that was terrible. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'm like, and then the teacher eventually walked up and said, okay, listen, he played it a completely different way. I told him to play it this way, so it's my fault that he played it this way, which was great that he did that. But I remember that every time I see an actor play a role, and I'm like, Jesus, man, what are you thinking? Well, what you were thinking is you're getting paid to play a part the way somebody tells you to play a part.
Right.
So, you know, you don't blame Zack Snyder for being Zack Snyder and enacting Zack Snyder's vision when a bunch of people said, we'll give you a bunch of money to do your vision.
Right.
You just say, okay, well, sometimes things don't work and we go on with our lives.
We hear the stories all the time. The difficult actors. Typically, the difficult actors are the ones that are trying to get their agenda across, get
right.
their version. This is how I feel the character should be played. Yeah, we're paying you.
Right.
You do right. what we say. And but a great actor is the one that can stretch it to a point and act a part that doesn't seem like them. We're not talking Jason Momoa here. We're talking like an actor.
All right. So now we're going to go off script here, and we're going to talk about Jared Leto.
Oh, okay.
We're going to talk about the Joker.
Yeah.
Okay. So not only did I stay up last night and watch Justice League, but I watched the Suicide Squad afterwards because I wanted to see Batman's costume in the Suicide Squad, and I saw his costume. I was like, I do not see a single thing wrong with this costume this entire time. It looks fine. There's no right. weirdness about it. So clearly the lighting is the issue in that. But then I have the extended version of that movie, which is only extended by like 8 minutes or something like that. And I've seen the theatrical release like once or twice or something, but whatever. And then it is also a terrible, terrible movie. There's just not a lot to love about it, but people hate Jared Leto's. Or Leto's? I don't know.
Leto, I call him.
Whatever.
Leto.
His version of Joker. I'm like, how? How do you hate this man's Joker?
Right.
It's perfectly fine. He's the Joker, and I feel like he does a really good job at it. Now, apparently he was an absolute monster on the set, and no one would ever want to work with him again because he, like, method acted that crap.
Yeah.
Definitely don't want to do with the Joker. So I can understand that part of it. But, I mean, I looked at that and I was like, this is completely fine. There's nothing wrong with his portrayal here. And, you know, actors bring something to their role, and the director brings something, and the people around them bring something, and together you make something that either works or it doesn't. You know, that's why you have characters who are supposed to be background characters who become main characters. Characters that were supposed to be one way become another way because of how the actor or actress that they hired for the role smiles, or how they deliver a line or something else. It grows. It's a growing, you know, it's an iterative process. You know, you work together to make something together. You know, where you have a problem is when you have, you know, one power on top of everybody else that's saying it has to be this way, it has to be this way, it has to be this way, and shoehorns it into something. And that's what I think happened to Zack Snyder in the Justice League. At least that made him quit, which was he was trying to continue with his vision, and the studio was like, your vision just lost us a whole bunch of money, so let's change your vision a little bit to make it not make right. lose so much money. And that's, you know, that is never, ever going to work. So I am actually glad that he gets his chance to make his movie. I absolutely think it's still going to suck.
Well, we're going to get Jared Leto in it, too. We're going to get Joker a little bit, a little more fleshed out. I thought that was the biggest issue in Suicide Squad. Is we were all looking forward to the biggest issue with the Joker was he wasn't in it enough.
I agree. Well, the extended version has a lot more of him in there.
Right. And, but even that doesn't have a ton.
Yeah. I really did like him quite a bit in that. The biggest problem with the Suicide Squad, and we don't have to stay on this topic whatsoever, but the biggest problem with the Suicide Squad is that it had an identity crisis. It just didn't know what it was. You know, it was whenever it pointed the camera at Margot Robbie, it was funny. And every other time it was like, we're basically that terrible Doom movie. I don't know if you remember the one, the Doom movie with The Rock, that one.
Oh,
it's that movie. It was that movie. And the number of great actors and actresses that was wasted. I know that actresses are called actors as well, but I'm just trying to make sure that all genders are represented here. But the number of people that were wasted on that movie was criminal. Everybody in that movie was just absolutely killing it, especially the Enchantress chick who, I think is I think she's fantastic. And, that end of that movie, I was like, if you CGI her one more time, it's a war crime. Oh my God. It's a war crime.
They did it.
They did it. They won't stop. They just CGI'd the heck out of her. So, yeah. But yeah, going back to Justice League, there's a lot to hope for, and I can understand people hoping for it. They're definitively, I think demonstrably, was never a Snyder cut because he never finished anything. He had a lot of pieces of it. And he is now going through and putting together the Snyder Cut. Like, the release the Snyder Cut thing was the most ludicrous, ridiculous hashtag that's ever, but one of the worst ones that has befallen geekdom, as far as I'm concerned. Because, it didn't exist, it never existed, and it was fine that it didn't exist.
Here's where I think you have a chance at being right in that it could be worse. The two terms you just used, hope and geekdom.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a more passionate group on the planet than the nerds, the comic book nerds, geeks, dorks, all of us, right? And that's where you run into trouble, is because now they have hope that something's going to be better. And if it's relatively the same or not what we just spent time talking about and like expectations, I want my characters to be a certain way. And if Snyder doesn't live up to that, well, now you just have double the amount of what they didn't want in the first place. Go in a completely different direction.
They're going to demand the Ayers cut. Release the Ayers cut.
Well, that's already been talking about.
Oh my God.
Talked about for Suicide Squad.
Yeah. I agree, and this goes right back to the very first thing we talked about, which is you don't pander. You don't pander to your audience. You don't. If you're an artist,
right.
You stick to, and that's what you know. As much as I hate Batman v Superman, it is a Zack Snyder movie. Okay, it is.
Yeah,
it is, and it looks that way. It looks great. You know, there's some real problems with the writing, and fine. You know what? Sometimes you tell. I mean. you look at like Robert Rodriguez made Sin City, which I very much like. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And then Frank Miller got involved in it, and then he made The Spirit. Is that right? That Spirit movie? Which looks exactly the same. It's same aesthetic.
Yeah.
It has Samuel L. Jackson. I was like, you think you put Samuel L. Jackson in something and you got a hit? Man, I've never seen anything. I've never seen Samuel L. Jackson in anything that was worse than that Spirit movie. It is a abomination. It is a apps. But Frank Miller's like, well, you know, how hard can it be? He did it with my material. I'll do it with my own material. And I know my material better than anybody else. It's a terrible, terrible thing. So, you know, you can't just assume that putting people, letting them take their vision, that you're automatically going to get a fantastic result. But Zack Snyder is a fantastic director. Will put out many more great movies. I look forward to watching him. He just has to learn, you know, maybe the hard way, that I don't know how much writing he had to do with the Batman v Superman and the Justice League, but he needs to make sure he gets some collaborators that will make sure that his dialogue doesn't say things like "save Martha" and right. And we can all agree that that would be a good thing. I mean, I think I could.
Here's the thing: I don't think Snyder wants to pander. I don't think he wants to do what people want. I think he's the definition of an artist. He's that the term starving artist is because an artist will do whatever, what they feel they want to do, regardless if it pays or not. Right. And it's, if you get, that's where that term came from. I feel like Snyder is kind of in that vein, but the studios, they're not artists.
No, they're not.
They're accountants. They're people that are lawyers, accountants that are talking about, we need to do this. The audience wants this. And you're 100% right in when you say the audience doesn't know what they want, because you might say what you want. You're an audience member. I say what I want. I'm an audience member. But who do you listen to?
Right.
Right. So you've got all those conflicting opinions. And to your point about the Snyder Cut being like blown up on social media or whatever, it's not a huge amount of people in the grand scheme of things, but they made a lot of noise.
They did.
And now how much noise are we going to get later? What is this going to mean? It's, I don't know, but I don't think that's why Snyder fought so hard. I don't think he wants to pander.
Well, I don't. Okay, so I don't think he had the option to pander until, because I don't see the studios relaying what they think the audience wants to Zack Snyder is pandering. I don't think that's the case. I think that's kowtowing to, like you said, accountants. You know, right. And those guys are number crunchers, and you know they're looking at this stuff, and they don't get it. They don't get the artistic vision of some of these directors. You know, people who have created works of art that when they try to sell it to a studio, they're like, we don't even know what genre to put this under. How are we supposed to sell it? Right. And they're like, I don't know. You figure it out. You're the money crunchers. I want to make a good movie. And this is a very interesting movie, you know, but there is no not pandering at this point for Zack Snyder. He can't have heard the amount of stuff that he has heard and not say, you know, that was actually kind of a good idea. That one was right there. That one. Yeah, Stephen Wolf does look kind of bad now that you said it. I never really thought about that before, but now that you said it, yeah, he does look kind of bad. So yeah, there's no not pandering to a certain extent, but the whole idea of this cut coming out is by definition pandering. And I am afraid that it is the rope by which Zack Snyder might hang himself. You know, you know, this is going to be a litmus test for his vision. And if the reception of this 4-hour monstrosity isn't overwhelmingly positive, then Zach's obviously his relationship with WB is probably already over, but it will definitely be over if this doesn't succeed. And then where does he go? I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would love to work with him, but we're talking about two major, major flops that have his name on it. And if he goes back and makes this and then also gets terrible reviews, I mean, are you giving him $200 million to make a movie? Are you giving $100 million to make a movie? Because that's probably what it takes to make a Zack Snyder movie.
Right, but probably not like what you said. Like, the idea that gave him the biggest characters in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that. You know, like...
You know what movie I want to see him make? And you're a comic book guy, right?
Yeah.
So, I want to see him make a Grendel movie.
Grendel?
Oh, my God. Or Mage by Matt Wagner. Either one of those. Both of those are by Matt Wagner. Those are old school... indie comics that...
Yeah, I don't know indie comics old school.
Oh, this is... Yeah, yeah. So I would love to see him take a character like that, or even like somebody like Miracle Man, who, yeah, you know, kind of shows that up in all of this stuff. He could take somebody like that and really do them justice. And it's not that he couldn't do Batman or Superman or anything else that way, but he can't do Justice League. He just can't. In my mind. And it's because it's not edgy. You know, Justice League isn't by definition edgy. It's uplifting. Right. Justice League is like the Avengers. You know, it's like a big wartime propaganda film that gets everybody excited about fighting against the bad guys. Now, in America, it's about, you know, it's all about America. But for everybody else, it should also be, you know, we're not fighting the Russians or the Chinese or whatever. We're fighting the aliens. We're fighting the, you know, the Chichari, or we're fighting, you know, right, what I mean? We're fighting the outsiders as a planet that, you know, that hopefully someday will include fewer white dudes. But you give them time. Marvel's coming around. You know, yeah, you know, the Marvel's coming around. Miss Marvel's going to get her own series and maybe a movie. So, yeah. You know, they finally decided that Scarlett Johansson, who has absolutely carried many movies on her back already, finally deserves a Black Widow movie, because...
Yeah, well...
I guess they finally decided.
Yeah, they were late to the party on that one, big time.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. I don't want to get into gender politics or any of that stuff around here, but I have younger kids than you do. So my 14-year-old comes home from school, not right now because of COVID, but in previous years, he's come home from school and talked about things just like off the cuff, like offhandedly, like it's no big deal. That I was like, dude, in my day, I would have gotten swirled, beaten up, and left in a trash can for that crap. For just suggesting that such a thing would happen, much less the fact that it did happen and you don't even care about it.
Right.
I mean, it's nuts. So, yes, Marvel is very late to the game on this. And, you know, the fact that Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman is, like, the most interesting thing in the entire Justice League, I think just shows that, you know, that it's so archaic that we need to move way, way, way past that.
Yep. All right. Anything else?
I don't know. I could probably talk for another 2 hours, but it's midnight here, so probably
it's
not.
Midnight here, too. We're on the same coast.
Oh, that's what I forgot. You're not Rob, who's three hours behind me.
Nope.
I don't know. Have I trashed on Justice League enough, or is there anything else you want me to say?
I don't think you trashed on it. You pointed out a bunch of stuff that is wrong. But to my side, I did enjoy it. It's a superhero movie, and I let these things wash over me. I'm not going to apologize for that.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
And it's like, that's what these movies were meant for. It's nothing against you or any of the people that do that, but you start critiquing this stuff like people like to do, like these fans like to do. And it's like, wait a minute. We're talking about a guy in tights, right? And running around with a cape, which
there's at least
you can't
one scene
in
that movie where Batman's bulge is way, way, way too obvious. It is, it's like no one should have put the camera this low and known that it was going to be lit this brightly because well, this is not right.
But we're getting IMAX.
Yeah. Yeah. An IMAX. Feeling a little inferior over here. I, you know, and, you know, I sit there and I told the story before, but, my wife and I went to see Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings when it first came out in the theaters.
Yep.
And we walked out of that movie and we went into the parking lot and we sat in the car. We get in the car. And I said, man, I thought that was a really awesome, awesome movie. She's like, yeah, I really liked it too. I said, I thought it was really cool how, you know, Legolas was like walking on top of the snow.
Yep.
Cause he's an elf and everybody else was trudging through the snow.
Yep.
And she looked at me. She said, there were elves in that movie.
Oh God.
I said, yeah, there were elves, but they're going with the pointy ears. And I said, and there were in the dwarves with the long beards. She said, there was dwarves in that movie. I'm like, and I, this was before we were, this was like our first year of marriage and I was still getting mad about toothpaste. So, you know, it was like a huge fight. But
now,
you know,
had you, I sense that you've read the books.
I had, but at that point I hadn't read them since I was in middle school.
Right. But had she read the books?
No.
Okay. No. So I did, when I did my Fellowship of the Rings review, one of the things I said is that's one of my favorite scenes because I had a buddy of mine at the time and we used to go to the midnight showings for pretty much anything, but we, right. He was a Lord of the Rings fan. And he had read all of the books, knew everything. So as we were watching these movies, I was getting in my ear the behind-the-scenes stuff that isn't in the movie.
I don't feel like that's a behind-the-things. I mean, that was just watching the screen.
No, it
thing,
was.
But, yes, yeah.
But to your wife's point, it's like there's so much going on.
Yeah,
and if you're not familiar with, like, the world, you might not know that those are elves. I'd have to go back and watch and see if they actually say elves.
They do. They say we're going to the kingdom of the elves. We're going to the elven
right.
city. They say it like
yeah. They have the pointy
times.
Ears and stuff. But that is a lot to take in.
It is
even
it
the
is.
Theatrical cut. But that scene where he's walking on the snow—that's one of the scenes where my buddy nudged me and he goes, "See how he's on top of the snow?" And everybody else is like waist to chest deep because I mean the poor. You know, the dwarves
and
the
hobbits.
The hobbits,
yeah.
Like, they're following Gandalf just to be in their his wake. But, you know, that was an awesome scene. And I don't know, honestly, if I would have seen him on top of the snow if my buddy had nudged me.
You know, that, and everybody enjoys things to their certain thing. And I will sit here and pick apart that movie, and, the Justice League. But at the time I was watching it, if you had sat next to me while I was watching it, you would have thought I was enjoying myself, which I was. I mean, I was. For the most part, at the end of it, I went, you know what? That didn't suck. I mean, it didn't completely suck. There was a lot of sucky parts of it, but at the end, it was fine. You know, the whole resolution of Steppenwolf feels fear and the things, the parademons that were apparently not bothering anybody, like they were nowhere. Right? Nobody was fighting any parademons. They were just off someplace doing nothing.
Right.
Then Steppenwolf gets afraid and suddenly they descend upon him and he's dead, which is, I was like, really? Really?
Yeah.
where were they when Batman, nobody? No. Okay. They were just doing their thing. You know, I was fine. You know, I mean, I enjoyed the movie just fine. And so you enjoy it. You let it wash up over you. And believe it or not, I am not as hypercritical as I come across here. I will sit there and I will let a lot of stuff that I know is like physically impossible or scientifically
right.
impossible. I'm just like, I don't really care. It's fine. We're all enjoying ourselves. Let's just go on with that. It's only when it's egregious and pulls me out of the movie that I really start to notice such things. And last night when I was watching the movie, I was really paying attention to all those little points.
That's what you honestly were going into it for too.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, you knew.
Like I said, I've never seen the movie and not been sober. So, you know, I enjoyed
helps.
It every other time. It was perfectly fine, but it was, you know, some of my very, very favorite movies. Like I could sit here. The movie I've seen more often in the theaters than any other movie is The Crow. When that movie came out, I was obsessed with it, and I saw it 5-6 times a week for as long
insane
it was.
Insane soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For as long I own the soundtrack as well. For as long it was in the theaters, I saw it forever, and I could tell you you know, shot for shot, why, you know, when they were out of order and why they were out of order because of the death of
Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee. And how you could rearrange them, because I had seen it so many times.
Right.
Does not in any way take away from my enjoyment of that movie. I love it to this day.
I thought they meshed it really well.
Oh,
to
my
be honest
God. I just love that movie. I love that movie so much. It's that one, and there's a couple of movies that are my all time favorites, but it would be very hard to find a movie that I loved more than that movie. And that goes right back to my, you know, high school, early college years of angst. You know,
yeah,
just embodied all that goth that I was. My inner goth was just on display. So, and again, another comic book movie. You know,
yeah.
So,
oh.
You know, who
I went
do, you
as
know,
the crow
you,
for
you know
Halloween.
Would absolutely kill a crow movie. Zack Snyder would kill a crow movie. Absolutely destroy it.
Yeah, probably because it's already dark.
Yeah,
you can't go much darker.
I mean, that dude is dead. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, wrap it up. It's been quite another long. I was going to try to get you in and out and make it comfortable for you, but this was a blast.
Well,
absolute blast. I think your rant and my bright side.
Really, what we need is you need to start a new podcast called the Bright Side Dark Side Home Theater Podcast. Or
that's probably up there with one of the most requested things between this and my Bright Side Chat. It's everybody wants to know the dark side of me. Well, and I'm like, no, you don't.
You got to bring me in there. I'm the dark side.
Once I go dark, it's tough to come back.
Oh, my God. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. I'm sorry, the Hulk. Jeez. Yeah, steal more from Marvel fanboy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's... Yeah. A little bit of truth to that. All right. I'm Irish. I got that temper.
Yeah. I think I'm probably a little bit Irish too. I don't know. I'm all the whites. All the white things you can be, I'm pretty much them.
There you go. Yeah, you got to keep up that making fun of me, though. It's bringing me listeners. I'm really appreciating that. I get a chuckle every time. And before we go, we've talked about this before, though. You actually get, like, not hate mail, but people are concerned for me.
Yeah, they do get upset. They get upset because what I give you say? All the time.
What do they say? I can't even believe people take the time to stick up for me.
I understand why you're so hard on that DJ guy. He's really nice. Have you even listened to his podcast? He's very nice. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I don't like him. He's too positive. What a jerk. How dare he?
That's why you can't remember the name of it. It's a bright side. Oh, I don't remember. If I was the dark side, you'd be all over it.
That's right. If you were like if you were like James Earl Jones doing the Dark Side podcast, I'd be like your number one.
Yeah. James Earl Jones, I shouldn't tell you that I love you so much. You're the best guy ever. Can you say my name on the podcast? My name is Tom Andrew. You can call me Tommy if you want, because I don't care, because I love you. That would be it.
People online, they hear one episode, they're like, oh my God, why is he being so mean to that guy? Like, because he's got it coming. That's why. I mean, come on. It's like seven straight weeks of questions that he could have asked all at once, or maybe not at all, because he knows the answers anyways. You know, he's going to just keep asking me questions. So, you know, whatever. If you want free advertising, that's fine.
Half of those, I think, was just Rob bringing me up. I don't even think I wrote in some of those weeks, because it was just literally, oh, DJ, you just talked about this a little while ago. And you'd be like, there's DJ again. And then I think Rob was just busting you. And I know I did. I wrote in a couple times. I'm like, oh, no, that we had an issue with.
That's it's funny. There's you can kind of, I have a sense about people, like when you can give them a little bit of a hard time and rib them a little bit. There's some people who can't take it, and I get in trouble more often than not for thinking somebody is going to be cool with right. a little bit of good natured ripping and they aren't or whatever. But there's, you know, there's even like at the climbing gym. So I'm a climber. My kids are climbers and, they're all a member of the climbing team. So, we climb on, the climbing team days, which doesn't have anybody else in the gym except for the climbing team. So it's very low, low capacity and everything else. But there's a couple of kids there that even before, COVID, you know, it's almost like you can tell that they are cool with, you know, interacting with adults and being, you know, a good natured ribbing. And, like their parents, I'll get to know their parents and they're like, oh yeah, have at him, have at her, whatever, that it's fine. They can take it. And, you know, so with you, you know, I got the sense right away, like, you know, give him a little bit of hard time and doesn't get bent out of shape. You know, that's just fun. We're just having fun. You know, clearly I wouldn't spend, I could tell you how much time it is, but his stupid recording thing crashed. Stop. You know, the 3 or 5 to 6.
The counter I got here is approaching 3 hours, buddy.
Yeah. 3 hours of my life that I have that wasted.
You'll never get back.
Waste and never get back. My kids
actually,
are like,
you can have it back. You can relive it on the podcast. You could listen to yourself all over again.
Oh my God. The last time I played the podcast with you in it and me, my kids were like, oh, Daddy, are you famous now? I'm like, no, he's famous now. Thank you very much. He's famous. I'm the famous one. My coattails, that's DJ back there.
I'm
just hanging
him.
On. He's like, I gotcha.
I'm
he's just
Superman's
hanging on.
Superman's cape. It's like, are you?
they were like, oh my God, that was, I don't remember when it was, but I was, I pressed play to listen
was
to something.
Was it the Thanksgiving one?
We did watch the entire Thanksgiving one.
I remember that you was saying true. That.
But it was the last time that you and I were on the, I guess the only time you and I were on the podcast together, I pressed play and they're like, oh, this is DJ from the Home Theater Podcast. Whatever your thing is. And here, I'm here with Tom Andrey. They're like, oh, Daddy, you're famous now. I'm like, shut up. And also, you don't live here anymore. Get out.
Oh, now do you get stuff on your, like, you treat your kids like the same way you treat, like you bust on your kids all the time. And the stuff you say, do you get people that say stuff like you shouldn't say that about your kids? Cause you'll be like, oh, just smack them. Like somebody's speaker will tip over cause my kids run by it. Well, don't let your kids do that. It's like,
how hard is that? Like, can we all agree?
I know. I'm with you on that one. I agree. Cause that's how I was brought up.
So I have three sons and, all of them, I know, right? All of them are, at this point, fairly, I mean, you've known me for just a couple of years. They've known me all their lives. So they know kind of what they're in for. Right.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes they don't like me busting their chops. And sometimes they know it's good. Well, it's always good natured or at least constructive.
Right.
But sometimes they appreciate it and sometimes they're 17 and they need to move the hell out of my house. So, you know, there's a little bit of that that goes on. But yes, I do bust my kids' chops, quite a bit. My middle son is the one who appreciates it the most. Like he will actively, like before COVID, you know, we would pick up his friends, we would drive someplace, and then he would actively antagonize me so that we could fight in front of his friends. And I'd be yelling at him and he'd be yelling at me, and it would all be just us kind of insulting each other, you know, you're stupid, oh, you're stupid, that sort of thing. And
right.
just so he could show off for his friends. So he absolutely loves it. The other two are a little bit more sensitive and I have to be a little bit more careful about them, but, you know, it's like anything else, you know, you hurt the ones you love, DJ. So, I hope you're feeling hurt today.
Right.
Because that's as close as you're going to get to an admission over here.
Well, I mean, I can't ask for much more than that.
No, you can, but you'll be disappointed.
Yeah, you're not going to get it. No, I won't ask for any more than that.
No, but yeah, it's fun. It's fun. You know, and my wife didn't marry me because of my looks. Because if you're on YouTube right now, you could clearly you're nodding your head in agreement right now. But I do make her laugh, and this is all kind of part of it. The sarcasm and sarcasm? Is that what I just said?
Sarcasm?
That's what I said. Yeah. That all comes, from my father, and my father is very much this way. So it's been passed down for years and years. And it's just, I just like to have a good time. I tend to be a very happy person to be around, but I also tend to be very, you can't say something stupid in front of me and expect me not to go, I'm sorry, what did you just sorry, right. Could you repeat that louder so I could record it into my phone?
Yeah, we're very much the same like that. Like, you'd be like, you say what? Like, no, that doesn't even make sense. What are you doing? I'm very sarcastic. My dad's very sarcastic. I was raised that way myself.
Yeah.
And my dad, it's a joke in the family. I was very young, but my dad came to me. I'm one of four. Very little time. My parents working, so it was like, if I got time with my dad, and it played into this home theater thing, he took me to Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. But my dad offered to play a game with me, and he has a deck of cards, and he goes, you want to play 52 pickup? Oh, we all know where this story is going. Yeah. I was so excited to play with him, and then he flips the cards all over the room, snaps them in his fingers, and they go everywhere. He goes, pick them up. I was very upset. I picked up the cards, and he put them back in his hand, and he goes, I'm just kidding. He goes, come on, let's play. Still so excited, he flipped them all over the room again. I burst out crying and left the room.
Oh, my God.
But that's my dad. And right. To this day, we laugh at that. I was probably, 17. I was probably like 7 years old. But that's how, that's the humor I was raised with. It was funny. And it's,
It's tough, man, because, as a father, the yardstick that you use to judge your own parenting is by your parents, right? And I think that now we're going to get way off track. I will tell you that I never plugged my computer into the wall. And so I've got like 20 minutes left of battery. So we're going to have to end.
Well, we only got 20 minutes left in a 3-hour podcast.
But, we use our parents as our yardstick by which we measure our own parenting. Yeah. And I think that yardstick is, far too low. I think as parents, we have to look at, and your kids, so you have, how many kids do you have?
Two.
You have two, and the
son
youngest
and a daughter, 23, 21.
Right. So your kids are already out of the house. It's too late for you. Your parenting is done. But I've still got, my youngest is 11, so I'm still like actively parenting.
Right.
And in the last 5 to 10 years, so much stuff has happened socially, that it has changed parenting significantly. To the point where I'm not keeping up at all. Like I am running just to stay on top of all the movements and the things that are happening out there that my kids are exposed to and everything else. So, whereas you were like, what's MySpace? So I make sure I know what MySpace is. I'm like, what's like 17 different social media platforms that I have to deal with to try to figure out what my kids are doing and, how come,
We went through it. We shut them off. We told them no until they were 17. And we had fights over it. And we were flat out no. There was no Twitter, no Facebook, no any social media. And to the point that we had other friends that were – other parents are telling us, come on, how are they going to learn? Well, if it's that difficult, why are you putting it in a kid's hands?
Right.
That a 17-year-old can't learn it on the fly. And it's like they weren't old enough yet. And that's one of the things we were happy we did. It's just, and I still agree with that.
Yeah. So our 17-year-old, I would actively create an account for him so he could be friendly with somebody because he's a recluse. My 14-year-old, I'm actively monitoring his phone to make sure that he doesn't, because he will do it if we don't. So it's sort of like you have to listen to your child and know where they are in order to figure it out, and just make sure in the end that as long as they watch the Justice League and agree that it's a terrible movie, you've done well as a parent. That's all you have to do. DJ, if they watch Justice League, do they agree it's a terrible movie?
That's a professional right there, everybody. Bringing it back around.
We have gone off topic, and we need to get back on topic.
So how do you feel? Rollerblades or roller skates? What do we got?
much. All I know is that Zack Snyder is against roller skates, and he is a communist for it.
Oh, man. All right. Let's wrap this up.
Let's do.
We'll get out of here. Thank you to everybody that's still listening.
Sorry.
I'm sure this is going to be multi-day event for people to listen to. But thank you, everybody. You can follow both of us. You can find all the information in the show notes for us. It's all down there. Patreon, thank you to all 7 of my supporters. Woo-hoo! Elango, Anthony, Brad, Paul, the new ones, thank you very much. And if you're not watching this on YouTube, Tom is counting all 7 of them. He took 2 hands, buddy. I'm on to the second hand. I know you've got multiple hands. He's barefoot. That's Florida for you.
Florida. I'm sweating and barefoot in here. Are you kidding me?
Now if that doesn't drive people to YouTube, I don't know what will. Bare feet up on the screen here,
dude. I think I hurt something.
All right.
Too old to be that flexible.
Oh, God. All right. Let's get out of here. Everybody have a great week. Tom, thank you very much. We will talk again soon, very soon. And everybody, go push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.